this is about 45 minutes, 90% of what it's going through that register. It's pretty impressive.
Okay, good evening. We'll call the meeting to order. If you'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, good evening. If you'll call the roll, please.
Chairman John Sorgenfrey.
Here.
Vice Chairman Mark Burns.
Here.
Commissioner Deanna Cox Miranda.
Here.
Commissioner Bradford Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Edward Wagner.
Here.
Thank you. Are there any commissioner comments tonight?
Start I just have one, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
My solar panels are not up and running. My my PG&E meter is running backwards.
Wow.
Which is good. Also, I would like to point out that under the section 17.105.140, solar energy, it states the Planning Commission shall encourage and may require projects to provide either passive or active solar systems. But it's referring for water heating, space, air conditioning, not necessarily electric. So I just encourage everybody to go solar. It's a good thing to do. Thank you.
All right. So like those disclosures on MSNBC, you don't have any stock or anything in the solar business?
No, but I might.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a great great alternative.
Did they say Ed Wagner or Ed Begley Jr.? You see that show of his? That's pretty cool.
Yes, I have.
I do have a couple of items, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. Give me just a moment. The first item that I need to report to the commission and to the community development director is that last week I received a couple of calls from people, one of whom is a former planning commissioner. And there was a situation between neighbors and owners of a bootleg vacation rental at 366 Boker Street. Randy, thank you. Where apparently several weekends running, one of the problems that we were all very concerned about occurred. There was a lot of noise, a lot of very rude vacation people partying there, and the neighbors were real unhappy about it. When the owners showed up to clean the house, the neighbors confronted them, and there was a physical altercation. The woman that owns the house actually shoved the man that lived next door. And the neighbors down there, rightfully so, are fit to be tied. And I think Boker Street's a great example of why we're all screaming about these illegal vacation rentals in the residential zone. The lots are, what, 30 by 55? They're 1,650 square-foot lots. Mm-hmm. Streets, what, barely 30-foot wide, if that. So we really need to look into that. And if you would specifically look into that address and that incident, I can provide you the names of the people that called later, Randy. And as long as we're on that subject, can we get an update on the code enforcement officer?
We held interviews last Thursday, and we're going to follow up with a second round of interviews probably next Thursday, next week on Thursday. So all the people that interviewed did very well on the interview panel, and the panel had requested that myself and the chief building official interview all five of them as a second interview. So
and
it's coming along.
You and or Kevin have the authority to hire. We don't have to go in front of the council on that.
It's budgeted and it's ministerial process right now.
Okay.
As soon as we select a person, we give a job offer, and then we do a background check and do a final final offer.
Thank you. So. And one other quick item, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to give Commissioner Anderson his props, as they say in Sweden street patois. When we were in reading the minutes of 9/11, I noticed that I had made a comment about disagreeing with you about the cash flow stream in certain vacation rental type properties, and it occurred to me the properties that I had dealt with had been multiple units where that cash flow was radically increased. But I think that you're correct in your assumption of the second home kind of a completely different mindset perhaps going into the single unit. So I just wanted to make sure I threw that back at you.
Thank you
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. With following up on Vice Chairman Burns's comment, we talked about having this when we had our joint meeting with the City Council about vacation rentals, that this would be a component of that. Do you have a date for that meeting yet?
November 6th.
Okay.
At 3 p.m. before the council meeting.
Okay. And do you think, in your staff report, is there a way that, I know we're going to have a pretty full plate that day, but I think that we talked about, at least my talked with Carolyn about having this item about vacation rentals in residential zones be, have that be part of the discussion.
That's
and then
correct.
I think as a follow-up to that, the next step as far as enforcing the illegal ones.
We have
so that would be part of our discussion.
That's correct. She's working on the staff report right now, and that's one component of that.
Okay.
That report.
Great. Mr. Hawks-Miranda, do you have anything for us?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask a question relating to vacation rentals and the neighborhood areas along, I guess it's Shelby Trout in my mind, but Price Street near the like Maria Callender's, and in between that and the Pismo Beach Athletic Club, there are some of those streets like Wilmar and Franklin, and can't remember the other name, but some people have complained to me on those streets, and I don't know what zone district that might be, and I thought maybe I should check and let them call the city. I didn't
That's
have
correct.
My zoning stuff out with me.
What I would do is, if there is a complaint, a citizen calls you, have them call the city clerk's office, and they can fill out a complaint form, and then we can track it.
Okay,
There's
so
a
they
way to track it.
And
mm-hmm.
they can ask. My address is here. Are
sure.
we in a residential
mm-hmm.
zone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. I hope the people that ask me this are watching so
okay.
they get that info, but I'll pass it on. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Certainly. Mr. Anderson?
I would like to pay my deepest heartfelt thanks to a group of men and women who are quite spectacular, and those are the fire department, the firefighters. I watched, fortunately, from afar when the dunes burned, and it was amazing how they got that under control. And then today at Cal Poly, Poly Canyon, we had a pretty substantial fire in four tanker aircraft and two helicopters in it, and the ground crew right there face to face, and it is amazing to watch them in action. So
today at Scotty's, did you know Scotty's had a kitchen fire?
No, I didn't know
this morning, and our guys got over there and put it out before there was much serious damage, just a little cleanup, and I think Scotty's will be open in 2 weeks, folks, or sooner.
So without their hard work, it wouldn't matter how much planning or building we did in the community, there wouldn't be anything to appreciate. So my deepest heartfelt thanks to them.
Amen.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes. We'll take each one separately just in case there's anybody that wasn't here. The first... Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped way ahead. Sorry about that. Just trying to speed through here. Could I have a motion to accept tonight's agenda?
I so move.
You have a second?
I second.
Thank you. I guess I better put my glasses on. That's probably the problem. Okay. Call the roll, please.
Chairman Sutterfield?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Commissioner
Cox-Miranda?
Yes.
And Commissioner
Walker?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is for public comment, and this is a portion of our program where if anyone wants to speak about anything that's not on our agenda to the commission, they're more than welcome to. Take 3 minutes. Is there anybody that would like to address the commission on anything that's not on our agenda tonight? Okay. I'll close the public comment period. Now, the next item is the approval of the minutes for September 11th, 2007. Are there any changes or additions to those?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I have two small changes.
Okay.
On page 16, under my statement, almost all the way down, it references, I wanted to reference Big Bear, and it reads Big Beach, if that could be changed from beach to bear. And on page 23, my statement on the page that starts out with, said the city of Lake Tahoe, if you could please insert the city of South Lake Tahoe. And that will do it. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Claudia.
Thank you. Okay, any further discussion about those minutes? I'll look for a motion to approve with those changes the minutes of September 11th, 2007.
I move to approve the minutes of September 11th, 2007.
A second.
All those, call the roll, please.
Chairman,
yes.
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Next set for tonight is the minutes of September 25th, 2007. Are there any changes or additions to those?
Just a very minor one, Mr. Chairman. On page 9, at the last three lines on page 9, it talks about the cars entering, and it says each half period at the end of those two sentences, and it should be each half hour period. Conveys the point already, but just for clarification. And
okay.
Obviously another fantastic job by our minutes clerk.
Absolutely. Anything else?
One small change, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, paragraph 4, when we were discussing changing the potentially changing the name of the R4 zone to a more accurate commercial designation, such as would be under the new plan, Claudia, if the zone is CDV, not CDVS, it is commercial downtown visitor serving, but as spelled out as CD-V. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? With that, I'll look
for... Yes, Mr. Chair. I have two small changes.
Okay.
On page 7, it's my third statement down. Last sentence talks about a potential impact to the local road around the parking site. If it could please read the local road system around the parking site. And then on page 35, my comment, first sentence, I thank the community development director, Mr. Bloom and Mr. Grossman, for addressing the residential issue. If you could please insert after Mr. Grossman and others, because many others persuaded me on that point. Thank you. Thank you, Claudia. That'll do it, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, I'll look for a motion to approve the minutes of September 25th, 2007 with those changes.
I move to approve the minutes of September 25th, 2007 as modified.
Okay.
I'll second.
Call the roll, please.
Chairman Sorgenfein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Berman?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. That moves us on to our public hearing agenda items for tonight, and our first one is at 1804 Ocean Boulevard. This is project number 070137. This is a coastal development, architectural review, and landscape permits for the construction of a new 3,600-square-foot single-family residence on a vacant lot. Project is located in the single-family residential R1 zone of the Shell Beach planning area, and there is no oral report tonight. This means that staff does not have a full detailed report on this project, but we will open it to the public. And, Michael, do you have anything you want to add?
Excuse me for interrupting, but I would like to disclose that I received a 500-foot notice because I live near the project site, and I do not have a financial conflict of interest, but given the proximity to my residence, I would feel much better if I stepped down on this item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to add something?
Actually, staff has one correction.
Okay.
And that's on page 7 of 17. The applicant name, it says, whereas Dale Crane. Mr. Crane is not involved in this project. It should read Alvin and Robin Souza.
Okay.
And staff will correct that as part of the final resolution.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions of staff prior to going to the public?
I just had one question, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Just a clarification on page 12, it mentions the tree list, including mature height of all trees. When you review this, I assume you will make sure that the trees will not be excessive height so that we don't have any view blockages kinds of things. Is that correct?
For the most part, we will limit to close to 25 feet. If Planning Commission does decide they want to limit it to no higher than the building, they can add that as part of the conditions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll ask just for one clarification. I got a call from the media, KSBY, and they were asking regarding bluff erosion on this particular property. Now, can you let us know this is across the street from the bluff, correct?
This is across the street, and it is approximately 80 feet from the edge of bluff to the proposed building footprint. Also, this is not a blufftop lot because there is a local street and also a city park on the other side of that street. We did not ask for a bluff retreat study as part of the proposed project before you tonight. Staff has taken a look at that complaint in regards to not having enough distance for this particular residence, And just for background, if this were a blufftop lot, the minimum setback would be 25 feet or 100-year retreat rate plus 10 feet by the California Coastal Commission. In 2002, the city had Fruit Grove West Incorporated prepare a update to the city's 1992 bluffs retreat study, and they estimated for that section from approximately 2054 Ocean Boulevard to 1400 Ocean Boulevard an annual retreat rate of approximately 4 inches per year. That would equate to a 100-year retreat rate of 33 and a third feet. You add 10 feet to that for the Coastal Commission, and that would be 43 and a third from the top of bluff. This project is 80 feet from that top of bluff. But since this is not a bluff top lot, we would not assess a 100-year retreat rate for this particular lot.
Okay. And then this particular project is in the Coastal Appeal Zone, so this project will be going on to the Coastal Commission for their approval as well, correct?
Technically, if it is appealed to our City Council and appealed at the Coastal Commission, will it actually be reviewed before an actual public hearing? We do have to send off a Planning Commission approval to the Coastal Commission staff, and they'll determine whether or not they want to appeal it.
Yeah, that's really what I was referring to.
So it goes to them,
and they review it.
It depends on the agency taking the final action. If it's not appealed to our City Council, or if it's not appealed all the way through City or to the Coastal Commission, Planning Commission would essentially be the last approval. They would be approving it.
Right. Okay. Any other questions of staff? Okay. We'll go ahead and we'll open it to the public. And I have two cards. The first one is Terry.
Can I use overhead for some photos here?
You have 3 minutes, so.
All right, I can do photos pretty quick.
Okay, sure.
I just, before my 3 minutes get kicking off, how do I do the photos here? Okay, my name is Terry Lilly. I'm a marine biologist, and I'll talk really quick. 16,000 hours.
Excuse me, just 1 second. We won't charge you for this interruption. Does he need to be up the microphone?
He needs to be up the microphone for the.
How do I do the photos?
You can use that microphone right there.
So I'll just change him.
Or you can use that. Bend that microphone over.
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Reason we do that is because so people at home can hear and it's also recorded.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thanks. Is my time started yet?
Nope.
I'll start my time. My name is Terry Lilly. I'm a marine biologist. I've lived in Shell Beach for 25 years and studied the bluffs. During that 25-year period, I have 16,000 hours along the ocean here studying the bluffs in the ocean and the animals along the ocean. What the person said here today about the bluff retreat, I feel, is completely wrong and incorrect. And if you bother to come down and study it, I'll show you. Being I only have a couple minutes, I did an hour-long movie of the bluffs. I'll hand to you in just a moment. Problems with the property is there were some big trees, one big tree on the property that was taken down illegally. The Coastal Commission tells me there may be some restoration issues along with that. The bluff, yeah, this house is on the other side of the street, but due to global warming and the raising of the oceans, the water and the waves are hitting the bluff at an accelerated rate. The bluff is actually only 2 feet right now away from the road, Ocean Avenue, in front of this house. It's being deteriorated at 2 feet a year at this spot, not 4 inches a year. Within a year to 2 years, it'll undermine the road and Ocean Avenue is going to fall into the water. And I think if you want to come down with your engineers, I can prove that. So if you allow a house to be built when there's going to be no road in front of it, it's kind of an interesting situation. If you've also looked at this is right in front of the house. That's where the stairs are all falling down the bluffs because of the increase in the surf hitting the bluff. Another picture right there of the stairs ready to fall down. The beach is becoming incredibly unsafe in the area here. That's a drain pipe just to show the 30-40 feet of the bluff that's wore away in the last 10 years. This is the hole that's undermining the road in front of the house. Again, the house is 80 feet back, but the edge of their lot is only 30 feet away from the bluff now, and the bluff is undermining the road. Within 2 to 4 years, there will not be a road there. Mark my word, watch the movies. This is high tide right here at the end of the street. You notice that it's closed right there. You can't even go to the beach because of the high tide wearing away the bluffs. This is what the bluffs look like right there. This is city property, sandbags. We have houses falling down onto the beach right now. We have sandbags. We have all kinds of illegal seawalls. This is right in the same area. These are all falling down on the beach, making a huge hazard to beachgoers. By the way, I gave this movie to the Coastal Commission, and they're very interested in this project. This is illegal sandbags all along the bluff here, 100 pounds a piece that have fallen down very close to my head. I actually live right there. This is the type of work that's being done on the bluff right now to try to stabilize it. I would love for the city to show me where all of these seawalls are legal. You got to realize, people are going to put a house here. They're going to water the house. That's going to undermine the road even further. Then they're going to want to build an illegal seawall, just like this illegal seawall that was built not more than 5 days ago, by the way, down the road that I got movies of. This is one last deal, and I'll be gone here. This is the surf in the wintertime hitting the bluffs right there. In my opinion, 16,000 hours as a qualified biologist, 24 years here. It's suicide building any more homes anywhere near the bluff in Shell Beach. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Do you have any comments to that as far as the regarding the is engineering our engineering department? Okay, thank you.
What the city has done recently is when we had the winter storms in 2005, we hired Earth Systems to do an evaluation of the park, and the same erosion rate was identified as the original Frugo study. But since then, the city council has hired a Marlowe and Company. It's a federal lobbying company to get grants. And a week and a half ago, we met with the Army Corps of Engineers and walked that park for potential participation with the Army Corps of Engineers. We also walked Price Street adjacent to Dinosaur Caves, where the two we have excessive erosion in those two areas, and we walked the whole town. Basically, is that, yeah, the bluff is eroding. The city is working on a long-term solution, and hopefully that through this grant cycle that something will show up. But it was a substantial success to even get the Army Corps of Engineers to come up and physically visit the site, and there's three of them from the Los Angeles office that came up. So we're apprised at what's going on and are working through the issue. And not only that, we're also working on Cypress Street up from the Sea Gypsy in that section of Cypress where we had to close part of the street and put in a sewer lift station to pump the sewer back up to Dolliver Street. So there's several key points in the city that we are working on. Yeah.
So as far as that road and the safety of that road, the city is aware of that, mm-hmm. and would correct. Mitigate that before it got to a point where there was any danger to the citizens, correct?
That's correct. We're conscious of that area because we have a major sewer lift station right at the end of Vista Del Mar, by the Vista Del Mar staircase, and that was one of the reasons why we've had the Corps out taking a look at that.
Aren't we somewhat restricted by the Coastal Commission even if we wanted to work on that bluff?
That's correct, yeah. So the Earth Systems provided short-term solution and long-term solution. Short-term solution is fill in the small cave areas with riprap and stabilize the top. But that's a whole complete local process, and then we have to send it up for notice of final action, and it's within the coastal appeal zone. So we need to get financial stability on a program with the Army Corps of Engineers before we process anything through the Planning Commission.
Is that
Is that city property there, or is that state lands? Do you know?
Illinois Ocean Park is city property.
City property. So right. Going down the bluff would still be city property.
That's correct.
It wouldn't be state land. So mm-hmm. that would take one entity out of the equation for. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions on the staff before we go? Jennifer? Is it blonder?
Yes, blonder. Like blonder than a brunette. I am. Hi, my name is Jennifer Blonder, 484 Hines, Pismo Beach. I was on the internet and I was looking at the. I got this off the city council site. It's the code of ethics, and it says that now therefore be it resolved, the city council and the city of Pismo Beach hereby adopts this code of ethics, which pertains to the members of the city council and all members of the city boards and commissions. And then I highlighted item 2, comply with the law is one of the items. Members shall comply with the laws of the nation, the state of California, and the city of Pismo Beach in the performance of their public duties. These laws include, but are not limited to, the United States and California constitutions, fair political practice laws pertaining to conflicts of interest, et cetera, et cetera. I'm urging you to keep this in mind when considering this project on this very delicate bluff area. And please just really pay close attention to all the Coastal Commission laws and how they might be pertaining to this project. It's a beautiful area, and I just don't want to see it sullied, I guess you should say. I guess I would say by any type of project that might be coming in there. So I'm urging you for responsible development in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any more cards, but would anyone else like to speak on this?
Hi, Steve Andrews, 2685 Spyglass Drive. I own the adjacent property with a house on it, and I had owned the lot that I sold. And just respectfully to use Mr. Lilly, number one, that tree was not illegally cut down. It had the blessing by the Department of Fish and Game and all the entities that make that judgment. As far as the bluff erosion, I attribute that. I've been here 35 years in Shell Beach and a lot of development in here. I attribute that to unmanaged surface runoff more than anything else, more than wave action, owning a few bluff front properties. So I think that's a misconception. I think that the infrastructure is less than what it takes to get that water to an outfall pipe and out past the bluff, and that's what's deteriorated the bluffs. I'm not sure what we're trying to say here, that we're going to disallow development of any properties across the street from the ocean. I mean, it's so unreasonable, it's ludicrous. And you've got a 50-foot buffer zone. The city's got responsibility of the park and the street. You're not going to let that fall in, the water. And I just don't know what – I think we have people just trying to disallow development in this town. I've been here 35 years. I've never been denied a project. And I can hold my head up and know that I've done many projects that have been an asset to this community. And I just – the mentality here is just – you know, it's NIMBY. I don't know, whatever they call it. Anyway, that's all I have to say. And I support the project because I do own the property next door.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Planning Commission, and staff. My name is Bill Eisman. I'm with Eisman Design. We're located at 1027 Marsh Street in San Luis Obispo. I'm here tonight representing the applicant, Alvin and Robin Souza. They're the current owners of the property at 1804 Ocean. They are in the audience with me this evening, as well as Greg Crabtree from my office and Sarah Boardman of Boardman Construction Management. We've worked closely with staff and design of this project and have gone back and forth on several of the issues. We're not asking for any variances at this time. I have read the staff report thoroughly. We agree with all the conditions that are in the report, and we believe we have an exciting project. We're really excited about it. We hope that you are too, and we're looking forward to an approval this evening so that we can move forward. I'm here for questions or comments if you have any directly for me as well.
Okay, thank you. I think we'll hear from the rest of the public, and if we have some questions, we'll bring you back up. Anyone else like to speak on this?
Good evening. Edward Callahan, 1806 Ocean Boulevard. I live next door to the vacant lot with the proposed building that's going to be going on. And I look at it as a very beautiful concept and have no opposition to it at all. I do support Mr. Lilly in his last film that he's shown as far as the erosion in the front where the stairwell is at. It won't take many more years of good heavy rains when that stairwell will be shut down. And who knows whether people on Ocean Boulevard in those two blocks between Morrow and Kuyama will be able to get out and get on the street. Otherwise, I don't oppose anything about the new building concept. The stairwell at this particular time, if it is eroding and being misused, it's because there is a commercial use on the stairwell of kayakers, a commercial kayaker use, which I don't oppose either, but it's taken its toll on that stairwell. Any questions?
Any questions?
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on this particular project? Okay, we'll close it then for the public and bring it back to the commission. Whether it be Michael or you, Randy, as far as in regards to the protection of the park, mm-hmm. the city, is, you said, is working on that, trying to establish some grants to look at that, and then
the city's doing twofold items right now. We're working on trying to assess grants to implement the Earth System Study, but also in the Capital Improvement Program, there is a stormwater control project that raises the curb level up along that park to channel the water into an outlet. Historically, the water has rolled down the street and went over the top of the park, and that's where you've got some severe erosion over time. And Public Works has that in their capital improvement program for this two budget year section.
Okay. Are there any other questions of staff or the applicant? Did you have any?
I just had one question on the going back to tree height first. Since the building height's 24 feet, max height would be 25 feet, so it wouldn't make any difference really to impose a height limit on the trees. To the building height, it sounds
if
like.
The commission wanted that they would have to do that as part of their motion.
Right. Well, it sounds like 24 versus 25. The other issue is on the bluff erosion rates. Those are established. Could you explain again how those are established?
For blufftop lots, which this isn't a blufftop lot
I understand,
at this
yeah.
time, but if we're determined a blufftop lot, our city's general plan for specific areas, normally R1 lots, for the Shell Beach Village area would be one area. Another example would be Indio Drive. We have a minimum of a 25-foot setback from top of bluff or a 100-year retreat rate. The Coastal Commission has added 10 feet on top of that 100-year retreat rate. So lots for new development where either they're adding on to the house or proposing a new house, they would have to have a bluff study done by a registered soils engineer who's done bluff studies. They would have to estimate the annual retreat rate using aerial photographs, also soil samples. They would determine the annual retreat rate times and times 100 years, add the 10 feet for Coastal Commission, and that would be adequate for Coastal Commission to approve the project in such a way that the house would be situated where they would not have to ask for a seawall in a short fashion. So that's the Coastal Commission's rules regarding minimum setbacks for blufftop development. For this project, it's well beyond what the minimums we normally see for single-family residences. The most I've seen on one of my projects was a setback of approximately 45 feet. That was 100 year plus the 10 feet. Again, this project is approximately 80 feet from Edge of Bluff using the city's aerial photographs and GIS.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, I guess the point is this is consistent with Coastal Commission regulations at this point.
At this point, it's consistent with Coastal Commission regulations if it were considered a bluff top lot.
Which it is not, correct. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Did you have any questions?
The reason it's not considered a bluff top lot is because of the road in front of it?
And also the city park, albeit a small amount of city park in front of there. There's two properties between this property and the ocean.
Okay. And if this were, just going back through the process that you described, if this were a bluff top lot, then a soils engineer would have to do an erosion study on that bluff area.
We would have a bluff retreat study prepared, and it would be included, at least the findings, as part of this report.
Okay.
And did you say that there had been a study done on that particular, the front property, the park?
We've had two studies. We've had the Frugro report that took a look at all the bluffs, and then we had the specific Earth Systems report for Eldway and Ocean Park.
So there has been a study done.
There's been two studies done.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't those studies, if there had been a bluff top study done, don't we compare that study to the city studies with that to make sure that
right. They
comply? Mm-hmm. And if they don't comply, then there's a peer review.
The Fugro report identified an average of 4 inches a year erosion rate. The Earth Systems report identified between a 1.5 and 4.7 inches per year erosion rate, and the structure sits substantially past those two different estimates.
Right.
Also, as far as the annual erosion rates, they do take into account for large episode events too, like 100-year storms or El Nino events.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't necessarily going to be exactly 4 inches per year. They could lose a couple feet per year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's no further questions, any comments rendering the decision tonight?
I would just say, Mr. Chairman, that first off, if there are a number of illegal seawalls being constructed, we need to look into that.
Well, let me comment on that. Okay. Is that we did have a project on Shoreline Drive that they started working on when we red-tagged it, and they're removing it.
But the point is,
right,
other people out there putting in an illegal seawall have absolutely nothing to do with this project.
No.
I mean, so that, because there was a comment about rule of law, well, there certainly is rule of law, and there certainly are entitled rights to that lot. And while it's really not the subject, so I don't want to go too far into it, because the city is the bluff top owner there, not the Sousas. But correct me if I'm wrong, to rule of law in the coastal charter, we're creating subdivisions going forward that will not have the right to a revetment. Is that correct? But existing lots, like Mr. Andrews' house, have the right to apply for such. So the city has the right to apply for that for their park and their street.
The 1983 zoning ordinance provides for a bluff top owner to apply for revetment and a coastal development
permit. For the coastal charter.
The main reason that we have the 83 ordinance and we have outside the coastal zone the 98 ordinances, the Coastal Commission wanted to impose that restriction, and the City Council did not want to take away that property right. And so that's why we have the 83 ordinance within the coastal zone still.
And I remember having that discussion when I first sat down here, and a continued discussion of that, and wholeheartedly supporting the city on that. We've approved two houses on the opposite corner, correct? This is two houses on the other corner that we've recently approved, and one nearly recently, a corner up from that. And this project is, in my opinion, wholly compliant. They don't appear to be asking for any variance.
So per the law, they have the right to do this. It is totally within the character of the neighborhood. It'll fit well with all of the other houses, and the onus is on the city to take care of the street. So I support the project.
Okay. I support the project, too. I just had one other comment that I consider adding solar energy as well. Thank you.
You want me to get a condition?
No condition.
Well, I agree. I think in looking at the letter of the law, I know certainly we're charged with that, and there's been many times I think that, you know, we look at the restrictions that are placed upon us, and we have to always adhere to those. I think we would be not adhering to the law by not letting these people develop their lot. And again, it is incumbent upon the city to look at the street and the park and make sure that those are going to be preserved as best we can, because there are a lot of restrictions on what the city can do as far as building a seawall there or trying to shore up the bluff. I also do think, though, that I would agree that, and we've talked about this over the years that I've been on the Planning Commission, and I would agree that drainage is a big problem. I think that what happens is that the water drains off, and then when we have winds, if it's raining and it's windy, that all that moisture blows back onto the bluff. And usually nature takes better care of itself. Right. When it's a man-made disaster, right, usually creates more havoc. And I think that's what's happened mm-hmm. in a lot of those bluffs. And I know we're making an effort to try to rectify that. That's the area that I would be most concerned, not just on this project, but just in general when we look at our bluffs. So I'm in favor of the project.
I'd like to first comment on the design. I love the standing seam roof. That is very nice. Nice addition to it. I didn't like the east elevation. I thought it was pretty heavily massed, but apparently the neighbors don't mind that, so, and they're the ones that have to live near it. I didn't like the stacked stone, but be it as it may. Something, you know, in the law there's a term called constructive, and what it means is you treat something as if it meets a certain condition because it basically does meet that condition. And I'm a little bit concerned here that constructively this is a bluff lot. I don't oppose the development of the lot, but my bigger concern is having this retreat rate study done by the soils engineer. So, and it sounds like from the other commissioners here, and I'm not going to belabor it, that there's going to be an approval on the project. But if I had my druthers, I would require a retreat rate study by a registered engineer on the lot. I would also require a landscape architect to implement low irrigation plantings and actually design the irrigation system. So I would hold off approval on the project pending seeing that. That's my comment.
Well, I think that if on one particular issue, if you wanted to make that as a condition, as far as on the landscaping, I certainly wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that we need to be sensitive to the runoff, because that's just, you know, what I just covered. I think that's one of the problems. The reason that I'm not as concerned about the study is that the city did one. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that if the applicant had done one, we would use that city study as the base to make sure that the applicant study was correct. Because I've seen instances where you can find a soil, you can find somebody that can give you the report you want. Well, we don't want that. We want to know the real report. So we have to have our own study that's non-biased that we can look at. So I'm comfortable in that sense. But as far as a condition of approval, as far as landscaping I wouldn't have a problem with looking at things that aren't going to require a great deal of, you know, drought tolerant plants, those types of things.
Was this required on any of the other two projects, on Morrow and on the far corner of Morrow, or was it the next street of Capistrano where the house was recently built?
The last house, I believe, that was, I think it was on the corner of Vista Del Mar and Ocean. On that house, they had landscaping that was in their side yard setback, and the people on Vista Del Mar,
I remember that.
We conditioned that.
But I guess the question is, did we require, to me, the other lots, Mr. McCarthy's lots, which are on the other side of Morrow, are both approved for houses and very recently, sure. And I don't see the conditions as being any different now as they were, a year ago or whenever we approved Mike's houses. So I don't think certainly if there's consensus on the Planning Commission and two or three of the guys, and certainly out of respect for Commissioner Anderson, if that's what consensus is, I'll go along with it to get the project approved, but I don't really think it's necessary. I mean, again, the onus is on the city because the city has the Blufftop lot. And also, I think that right now we've got runoff coming just off that lot. It's unabated. At the point, you know, there's a lot of drainage and grading requirements, not only during construction, but after construction. I mean, the city, the engineers are going to come out and run water over there and make certain that it is directed to flow in a certain way. And, it's, you know, so as to direct it away from the bluff.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a strict condition. I think we can direct staff to say, you know, this is obviously a concern. Everybody that is near that bluff should consider the type of runoff that they're going to have, and you've got to be conscious of what types of, you know, vegetation you're going to have. So I don't necessarily want to make it a restriction of approval, but I think that it would be wise of staff to communicate that.
On projects, staff normally requires drip line irrigation, and we do restrict the amount of lawn or turf to 10% of the lot size. Those are standard city conditions. Also, if you look at the conditions of approval in regards to landscaping, low water type plants and also drip line irrigation is already included as a special condition.
Okay.
I would mention that's on page 12 of the conditions.
I'm comfortable with that.
How does Commissioner Waggy feel about this?
I don't think it's necessary to make any changes. I think we already have the, page 12 has the landscape and irrigation plans, and staff, it's up to we normally have staff make sure that the landscaping plan adheres to the requirements, so I'm comfortable with the way it is.
Okay.
So we just add the condition about solar energy.
I'm not even pushing that. I'm just recommending it, not requiring anything.
Okay. Well, I think that I'm comfortable then that the conditions are there. Any further?
Before the vote, I like the design.
I do, too.
Nice.
I do, too.
Absolutely. Yes, I like the design, too.
It's a nice house. Okay. With that, somebody would like to make a motion for this project tonight?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt project number 070137, the Coastal Development Architectural Review and Landscape Permits for the project.
I'll second it.
Okay, and just with that one notation that you brought up, the correction about who the applicant is.
And did that include 25-foot height limit on trees?
No, I think the house is already 24-foot, so, well, I think you said there was already a 25-foot limit on trees. Is that correct?
No, they're not necessarily, no.
I can fix that for you.
Okay.
With the additional condition that the trees not exceed 25 feet or the roof height, maximum building height on the lot.
I'll modify my second to include that.
Okay, good. Call the roll, please.
Chairman Sorgenfrey?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
No.
Okay.
Well, one more.
She hasn't asked for me yet.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Yes.
And then you'll note that Cox Moran excused herself. Okay. That concludes that project. We're going to take a short break. We're going to take a short break, and we'll get ready for our next project.
All right. I got to see one of these.
Order. And our next item is at 331 Wadsworth, and this is project number 060100, coastal development permit, coastal use permit, tentative tract map number 2881, and review of a draft of mitigated negative declaration for demolition of three existing residences and the construction of a mixed-use project. Project encompasses almost an entire city block and includes 43 residential condominium units, 6 live-work units along Price Street, Wadsworth Avenue. The Price Street-facing portion of the project is zoned C1, residential. The site is located in the mixed-use portion of the commercial core planning area. And this project has been continued from our August 14th meeting. And Scott Graham is going to give us some background introduction on this project.
As was stated, this item was continued from our August 14th meeting. There are a number of issues at that meeting that were brought up by both the public and the commission. I don't know if there was, you know, necessarily a consensus reached on the issues, so, you know, each of the issues, but there were a number of common, I think, issues that were brought up at that meeting, and got together with the applicant after that meeting, and we kind of chose what we thought to be the most important or salient points or issues that were up there, and we tried to address those. The first one dealt with the number and types of variances that were being requested. Second item was related to parking and underground access. There were some comments related to reducing the massing of the project on its Price Street or commercial frontage. The commission had requested that they provide additional, streetscape analysis, additional drawings of the different streetscapes, and potentially a, you know, three-dimensional sort of picturing, and the applicant's kind of done that. The commission also requested building elevations drawings for the rear of the commercial building. And there was some concern related to the density or the distribution of the units as it related to the zone line on the project site. I'm going to go over each one of these items individually. As far as the variances go, as the commissioner recalled, the applicant was requesting a 4-foot setback variance to two porches that were on Wadsworth, a 2.5-foot variance to a single porch on San Luis. And then the applicant was requesting a variance related to provision of some tandem parking. The applicant's redesigned the project and is requesting no variances now. They've all been removed. All the requests have been removed. So the project is compliant with those issues. Moving on to the parking and underground access, there's a couple of issues related to this. Again, one related to the tandem aspect of the project. The location of the driveway on San Luis Avenue, the project originally had driveway access points both on Wadsworth and San Luis. The San Luis access point was adjacent to an existing residence. And then there was some concern related to how we were parking the live-work units. Again, we removed the tandem parking from the equation in the project's park, so that's not that issue no longer is on the table. The issue related to the access point on San Luis, again, there was a driveway that was going to be sited adjacent to the one remaining lot on the street or the block that was not going to be a part of this project. And the applicant has simply removed that access driveway, and now the project has a single access onto Wadsworth Street. Now, moving on to the calculation for the live-work units. This issue has been, you know, covered by the commission on several occasions. We were originally proposing that the live-work units be parked simply as it related to the residential component, meaning you would have had 12 parking spaces, and we wouldn't have been parking any of the, you know, commercial aspect of it. Some concern was raised by various commissioners about that mechanism for parking. The commission in the past had discussed, you know, what we were going to do with live-work units because it's not something specifically covered in the city zoning code. And the commission, at least previously on the two separate occasions, had indicated that live-work units probably deserve some sort of reduced parking requirement. Notwithstanding, you know, those comments made previously, the applicant has chosen to park both components of the live-work units. So now you're parking two spaces for the residential component of them and parking the residential or the commercial square footage, which is 5,400 square feet. So what you end up with is 12 for the residential component and 18 spaces for the commercial aspect of those units, although they are a single unit and connected. So that's what the applicant has chosen to do to address that. The one change we did make is because in relation to this is originally because they were just parking the residential component, we combined that residential component with the other 43 residential units and then calculated the guest parking based on all of them. Given that they parked the entire commercial aspect, we thought that was probably inappropriate and probably, you know, over-parking the project at that point, and we did not do that then. This is an interpretational issue and one that's left to the Planning Commission to make, but those are the reasonings why we did not do it that way. If the Planning Commission wants to, you know, make other considerations related to that, then obviously you can, if you can form consensus on that. The one thing we did do, because the applicant parked the commercial and residential component of live-work unit, is we have a condition in this project that has these shared with the visitor parking spaces. Because right now I think you're going to get underutilization of those commercial spaces because of where they're located under the building. And so if at least they can be utilized by guests coming to the site for the residential uses as well, at least they could be fully utilized in that component. So that's what staff's proposed and conditioned the project to comply with. Obviously we can have more discussion on that if the commission wishes. Moving on to the reduction of the massing of the building along Price Street. As you'll recall, the initial design had the Price Street frontage all at three stories. The applicant has redesigned it such that you have two-story components at the corners of the building and then two-story components in these at two separate sections in the center of the building. And you can kind of see that on the pictures right up. Well, I guess it's down below. I can't really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you have the three-dimensional drawings that they have, and they kind of show those step-downs at the corners and so forth. And they are,
I don't know which one's sitting behind Claudia.
You can kind of see it with respect to the one behind Claudia as well. So they did reduce the scale and the bulk of those buildings, including some two-story portions of it. So it's not an entire three-story frontage across the entirety of that those elevations. Again, the commission had requested additional renderings related to the streetscapes. The applicants provided those additional renderings. The commission also requested renderings related to the rear portion of the commercial unit. That's the one right above Claudia. The top drawing there shows that that rear facade of the commercial building. So it's a two-story component. You know, really looks very residential and faces the interior courtyard on the project. I think moving on to probably one of the bigger issues related to the changes that were made is the how we were dealing with the density. I think, as the commission will recall, the proposal was really to take a look at the density as a project as a whole, meaning we were kind of taking a look at it sort of disregarding the zone line and just distributing the density throughout the project. There was some concern about doing it in that fashion, and the applicant has redesigned the project to address that issue as well. And the project originally had, I think, 24 units either totally or entirely encompassed or partially split by the zone line. They had 24 of them located within the commercial component or commercially zoned portion of the property. The density would equate to 13 units, so the applicant has redesigned it to have 13 units entirely within that area. You're going to have two that are split, so we are asking for a little interpretation related to the two units that are split, and you're going to have 28 that are totally located within the RR, or Resort Residentially Zoned, piece of the property. Again, we are requesting that you make the finding that those two that are split are actually counted towards the RR portion of the project. And that does make the density work by zone if you do it that way. And the project, it should be noted that the project also would be allowed two additional density units that they don't have. And we've provided findings on finding B13 addresses this issue and really changes it from how I had the finding in there before to the new one, where it bases it solely on those two units that are split, having those accorded or afforded to the RR zone portion of the project. I think the last sort of issue I want to talk about is probably related to the environmental document. I did make some minor changes to it. Really, to the description, we didn't change really any of the mitigation measures. I did provide some notes in there that addressed air pollution control district aspects of it related to noticing. They're required to do that anyway, but I incorporated those comments in there. And there is one thing I'd like you to change in the MND. That would be on page 64 of 108. And it's item 15A through B. The first three lines there should have been stricken. I don't know. It would be page 64 of 108. Basically, the first three lines or sentences should be stricken. And the comment would start, you know, on the fourth line. It would be based on review of the Institute of Transportation Engineers. That's where it would start. Those first three lines deal with the project as it was originally proposed and had the two separate driveway accesses and the two separate garaged areas, and so that description is incorrect. I think with that, staff is recommending approval of the project. The applicant has made a number of changes to the project, hopefully to address the commission's concerns. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Anyone have any questions of staff before we hear from the applicant?
I've got a... probably just a quick cleanup item on page 56 of 108. I don't know if anybody else's copy came out like mine did, but we've got significant impact, significant with mitigation, significant impact, and impact. see that?
Oh, it looks like it was cut off.
Yeah.
If you look at the previous page,
you'll
see the remainder at the top of that.
Okay, that's what I thought. And I knew what the chart meant. I've seen many of these things, but I just wanted to point out that we were...
thought that was a new tough restriction.
This is less than significant kind of impact. It's not a significant
impact. Kind of a no-win situation.
It looks like there was some issue related when the table was converted here, and you got some kind of odd alignments in here, too. I have to apologize for that. That wasn't how it was originally put together.
And also on planning requirement number 9, the third bullet point, and let me find it.
Which page?
It is on page 94 of 108. Planning requirement number 9. It's the third bullet point.
Uh-huh.
Live-work units shall be occupied and used only by a business operator or a family of which at least one member shall be a business operator. I think, and we, of course, we're discussing this last time, saying, hey, you know, if we're giving you, approving you on the live-work things, it's got to be a live-work thing. But I think I would potentially be in favor of giving a little latitude to the applicant to add some language to that, Scott, that would say, or a legitimate employee of. Yeah, good. So Commissioner Waggie and I are tracking on the same page. That way, I mean, somebody could say, you know what, you're going to run this store, and part of it is you get to live there. So would you be comfortable including?
If the commission is, you know, happy with that, I have no problem with that. That actually does provide more flexibility. We sat down trying to word these such that it wasn't overly limiting, given the comments that came out of the meeting last time. That's where this condition came from. And I
knew where it came from because I remember the discussion. And I just say, you know, somebody, if they want to hire someone to run the store there, they got to want the accommodations to be part of it, just so it's not rented separately to a tenant and separately to a commercial and to a residential tenant. So it's somehow they're related.
Yeah, if the commission, you know, as a whole agrees with that, I mean, that's something I'd be happy with.
Okay, I think we can address that when we make a motion one way or the other.
Those are my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Cox-Brandon, do you have some questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a couple of questions. Just clean up in that what I want to address in the staff report relates back and forth to our findings and our conditions that we'll adopt by resolution. And I wanted to make sure under the variance request that you brought up on page 3 that our mitigated negative declaration on page 59 that I think we might want to strike the language on that also because it refers to setback variance requests.
Page 59.
I have to apologize for that. That change was made in the MND. I'm not sure exactly how.
Okay.
Maybe it didn't get saved.
All right, then. Also, thank you very much for addressing the driveway access in the MND. On page 20, regarding the impact discussion, not applying at this time because the driveway access has changed to 1. But my question is, do you need to do some form of at least an analysis to understand or recognize the impact on single access on Wadsworth, which is one of our busy little kind of almost thoroughfares there?
The same issues apply. The City Council, in adopting the general plan, has adopted a statement of overriding consideration related to traffic impacts downtown, such as lowering levels of services intersections, you know, to below level of service C. Those findings are applicable to this project. What we basically did, the analysis that was done on this project, was really based on traffic generation. The numbers in here are probably actually fairly high. If you take into consideration, the median age of the population of Pismo Beach, the traffic impacts are probably going to be far less than are actually taken from the ITE trip generation manual. And that manual does not address live work units. So we parked those, we did those component trip generation numbers separately, which is also probably, again, being overly conservative. Now, you know, during the middle of the peak summer, you know, time here, I'm sure those intersections are going to be somewhat impacted because they already operate below level of service C at certain portions of the day. The City Council adopted resolutions related to this issue as well as the statement of overriding consideration for the EIR that went along with the general plan. I don't know what other issues we can cover with that. I mean, if there's something specifically you want us to look at, we can. I'm not exactly sure what. The original analysis didn't do anything other than stating that it's probably good that they had 2 access points, meaning it split the traffic. But ultimately, that traffic is going to be going to Dolliver and/or Price anyway, and going through the same intersections. So the overall, you know, net reduction coming out onto individual streets is probably negligible because they're going to be going through the same intersections.
All right. Well, actually, the impact discussion under that wasn't so lightly addressed. It did address what you are referring to as the city account, the city council's adoption of a statement of overriding consideration. But it also noticed that breaking the parking garage into two sections will help diverse the traffic associated with the project. So now I'm seeing a completely different scenario and wondering if it's kind of changed the project description of traffic and transportation circulation for me.
It does a little bit. But ultimately, those same trips, while they're being dispersed, well, before they were being dispersed on San Luis and Wadsworth Avenue, so you're splitting the traffic, it doesn't matter. Those same trips are going either up to Price or down to Dolliver and going through the same exact intersections. So the overall impact of having it just on Wadsworth is really negligible. Just from that standpoint, those cars are going the same direction and they're only one street apart. So I think the overall impact of those things is really, again, is not significant. It doesn't. The dispersion is nice on paper, but I don't think the overall effect is really that great.
Okay, so instead of 300, worst case scenario, 342 daily trips being divided into two separate driveways is going to come out of one onto Wadsworth.
It is going to come out of one, but you're going to be going through the same intersections that you would be if you're just one street apart. Meaning you're going to go up to Price, you're going to go up to Dolliver or Price, and you're going to go either direction. So the turning movements and everything are the same coming out of the project, going the same direction. You're just separated by one street.
Okay, then moving on to the condition covering the driveway access. It's on page 98 of our staff report. It's condition 38. It still refers to both driveways okay. And the width, so if that could be revised. Also, on page 10 of our staff report, you refer to a finding B13 that we can alter it now. We can go with what you've suggested for the RRC1 density and unit distribution. And I went to page 88 under our findings, and I don't find a finding B13. It goes to 14.
The number must have changed when they were converting the staff report.
So which finding is it?
Hmm. 12
or 14?
What the? It's probably B12, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was saying, but I'm looking. But it's 12.
All right.
Yeah, it looks like the numbering was changed.
Thank you. I also think that clarifies that for me, and I apologize for not being able to catch you over the phone to do this behind the scenes, but I like to kind of figure this out publicly as well. On page 94, our fencing condition, just to let you know, it got merged in with our affordable housing condition, so we could separate that out as its own condition. It's on page 94. It looks like it's part of the affordable housing condition, item G. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And the only reason why I bring that to your attention is because when I went to look at the guest parking condition, 8, I noticed that our fencing looked couched in there. So it would renumber our conditions for the record.
That one's supposed to be going to the previous page under landscaping, item 3.
Okay. It would be nice if staff could make sure that all the conditions are adequate. Set forth because I consider this a rather extensive and large project for the city. And also, just for the record, I think it's important to clarify on page 24, our Exhibit 4 heading, that these were not minutes from a concept review. It was minutes from an actual hearing, and we took action. And also, a couple of minor things regarding some items that weren't fully addressed that we had some commissioners had requested in the previous hearing. I think I'd like to cover those in our wrap-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the time.
Okay. Mr. Anderson? Any questions?
Just a couple. Give Mr. Graham a moment here. Just for the public watching, I'm allowing Mr. Graham to write this down.
Mr. Graham appreciates it.
Sorry, we had a real close-up shot of him writing, so I had that establishing shot to know what was going on.
Are you set?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. On the portion of the project that is in the C1 zone, do we have a breakdown of the commercial and residential square footage that is just in the C1 portion? Because the reason I ask is I see the zone overlay on page 5 that shows the C1 and the RR zone, but then I don't see the building overlay on top of that. I see it on page 4, and I'm assuming that I need to then calculate the square footage of these live-work units, the G&Hs, and then these E units, to figure out the number, so we don't have a calculated amount of that square footage right now.
See that? Would you ask the question one more time?
Sure. If I wanted to know just how many square feet of commercial and how many square feet of residential were contained within the C1 zone on page 5, okay, do we have that figure readily available? And I realize we're picking up portions of some other residential buildings in Court 3 and Court 4. But even if I just want to know it in the live-work units, the commercial portion and the residential portion.
I don't know if I have an overall breakdown. You might be able to ask the applicant.
Okay.
When they come up here.
Okay. That will be a question I have for the applicant. And since the other portion of the project is in the RR zone, and I'm going to the RR zone 17030.010, it says where it's reasonable to permit a mixture of hotels and motels along with apartments, condos, and similar uses. How many square feet are hotels and motels in the RR zone proposal?
I'm sorry?
How many square feet is the applicant proposing for a mixture of hotels and motels in the RR zone? I think the answer is null.
Yeah, there's no hotel.
Okay,
that's
thank
where you.
You
got me. I was.
Thank you.
See, that's a lawyer because they already knew the answer. Never ask a question that you don't know the answer for. That works in other businesses too. Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question, yes, Mr. Chairman. I was looking through the code trying to find out how we handle situations where we have a split zone for properties. I've looked up 17.105.020 on the 83 code. Ambiguity in classification says if any ambiguity arises concerning the appropriate classification of a particular use, et cetera, with respect to matters of height, zone boundaries, the Planning Commission shall ascertain all pertinent facts and shall set forth its findings and interpretations. Basically, we can make our own findings unless the City Council overturns it. We have the authority to try to figure out what the appropriate situation is. So I guess I see this as perhaps a way to justify if we split a zone, how we interpret it, that provides us some legal basis for doing so. Is that correct?
That would be correct, yes. The ability to do it, to interpret what the requirements are, is left to the commission when it's not specifically addressed by the ordinance.
Well, I think that's probably what's going to be necessary because we not often have a project that spans a whole city block and intercedes zones. So I think that's going to require some interpretation on our part of how to judge that. So.
Well, I mean, ultimately, when you have the entire city block like you do in this circumstance and you're able to clear it and develop it, the zone line, the zoning of the property becomes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Really, you're looking at a good project aspect of it. Although the zoning is still there, they need to be compliant with it. It's just, from a project standpoint, maneuvering it around the zone line sometimes is not, a preferred
right.
option from a design standpoint.
Correct.
So kind of have to balance too, I suppose.
And just comment with respect to the Wadsworth entrance and exit, it seems to me that could be a plus from the standpoint that people trying to get on, at least on northbound 101, would already be on Wadsworth, cross the intersection, and they're on their way to turn left on Bellow. So that might help a little bit as far as the San Luis versus Wadsworth. So I saw that as perhaps a positive.
It's going to be a plus to the people that own that one house there.
Absolutely. No, I think we were looking at ways to get rid of that other driveway, so I think this certainly was responsive to it. It's just one of the comments on that whole issue of the homes, perhaps in the, or the issue of C1 zone for the Price Street. It does say on item 10 on the C1 permitted uses, apartments as secondary uses, i.e. second floor rear of C1 building. So this is, we're talking about condos to the rear of a commercial building, so that seems to be consistent with this also.
Yes, that's
right. I spent a lot of time looking at the code the last day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I have some comments, but I'm going to reserve those till after we hear from the public and we all weigh in on this. So if there's no further questions, we'll
just
bring
one,
the applicant.
Mr. Chairman, on the section that Commissioner Waage referred to, my concern with that, I agree where it comes to this overlay of this Court 4 and Court 3 building where we've got the zone cutting through those. But what I read that to mean is that if there's an ambiguity, and here where we've got a clear zone with a C1 on one side and an RR on the other side, it's not an ambiguity. And that was my concern about ending up in rezoning. But I think the applicant and staff did a nice job in these materials and outlining, and so it's helped to narrow it down, I think, to what Commissioner Waage was talking about, where we've got literally the dotted line cutting through the project, and I think that's helpful.
And I agree. And I think that I think Scott's comment is that in an instance like this where you have a whole city block, I think we really have to look at the whole project and what that's going to do, too, I think. So with that, I'll bring up the applicant. And I will, first of all, commend you on your renderings that you have or the real-life photographs of placing these buildings on the streets. It's real helpful.
Good evening, commissioners and staff. My name is Roberto Moreno. I'm with Mullen Palazzotti's Architects and Urbanists. We represent V2V Properties, and it's a pleasure. Glad to be back. I think Scott covered everything pretty clearly, all the changes and updates. A couple of things that I want to add to are there were several other comments from the public regarding the character of the place, and I think those have been addressed. Mostly the massing of the building, it's not shown in any of these. It is in the report that you've been given, the document, the 55-page document that you have in front of you. There are some elevations that face Price, and there you can see a little bit better. There's none shown here straight on with exception of the back one. I'm sorry they're not up now. I'm not sure why, but nevertheless, the other thing that we've done, included in the document, are a series of projects that our office has conducted that are of similar size and mix. It was suggested from staff that we might want to discuss that. We can offer that up to you. It's in the document. We have a PowerPoint of those projects that are of similar nature and size. So if you'd like to hear that, we can do that if you see necessary. We'd also offer up to all the commissioners and staff, if you're interested in seeing any of these projects, then we're more than happy to show you around. We often receive visits from commissioners all over the state of California, including many coastal cities come by and see projects in Pasadena, Ventura, and elsewhere. So we're happy to do so.
Anything in Tahiti?
Tahiti? No, but Panama, Guatemala, places like that. Not Tahiti, though. That would be nice. Unless V2V starts to buy properties there. I'll get right to the issue that was brought up by Commissioner Anderson regarding the amount of space in the C-zone, although it hasn't been broken up as such because that got into some minutiae. Actually, we didn't think about that. I will note that on the RR zone, which is the yellow that you can see here on this board, the line that jogs, that splits the RR zone and the C zone, only jogs at this property. Otherwise, it's as straight as an arrow. So why it jogs, I'm not sure. It splits a couple units, but rather it does not split the building itself. The 95% of the building or so still sits on the RR zone. Even yet, we're still two units under the allowable on the RR zone. So we have 32 units. We are counting those two units that are split as being on the RR side, but we're still two units under the allowable density. We're allowed 32. We have 30. So if that helps to clarify that a little bit. In terms of the amount of actual square footage, on the C zone, we have 13. We're allowed 13. The square footage, I'm going to refer to the document itself and bear with the math here. Total square footage on the C-side, C-zone, is 16,890 total. That is everything. The live-work portion, the residential portion, I'm going to break down for you. It's going to be in some rounded numbers. We're saying the commercial portion that we're parking separately from the residential, from the live-work, I'm sorry, is about 5,400, I think, is what it's documented as. We're parking that completely independent. And we're parking two cars per live-work. So we're counting them twice in that regard, literally. We do also have a community room on the ground floor that falls in the C zone. So that's approximately 1,250 square feet. So you can take 1,250 from the 16,800. So if that helps the breakdown, you have 16,890 total square feet minus the community room. Right. I think that the point was you were trying to get at how much ground floor retail that we're counting. Is that correct?
Yes, and if I may, Mr. Chairman, help me on this because I think this will assist with my question. If we're looking at page 5 of the material on the proposed building, the live-work building facing Price Street?
Correct.
Okay. And then if we flip back to page 4, that area that's in the C1 includes what's characterized as live work G and H, but is it also, as I understand, it's these 5 E units as well?
That's correct. If you look starting at 29E through 33E,
okay,
it includes those.
Okay. And are those E units are separate residential units that are not part of the live work, or they are actually the lived portion of the live work?
No, those are actually just residential.
Okay.
Those are not.
Okay.
Hence the coloration. The gray is pure live work. Those are 6 of those.
Good. That's the clarification I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for us?
I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks. All right. We'll go ahead and we'll open it up to the public. Anyone from the public like to comment on this project? Yes, sir. Claudia.
Paul Salco, 871 Merced Street, Pismo Beach. I don't have anything very exciting to say. I just have a comment about water. What is the water usage of this project, and how does it impact on the total water usage for the city? And secondly, would there be any consideration or requirement on the applicant to put in purple pipe for future water cycling in the city as it proceeds forward?
Okay, I'll ask those questions for you. Regarding water usage, I believe this project's probably included in what our allocation would be.
What we do with we have a water master plan and we have a sewer master plan, and both of those master plans are designed, and our water supply that we have is calculated on our general plan density, which is, and on that, there is a conservative factor put on top of that. So this new project is designed to the general plan density and the zoning density, and our master plans accommodate for that, that development. Because, for example, you could have one house, a small little farm, for example, but your master plan would look at that as a long-term development potential. It would look at the general plan, and that's our water supply and our treatment plant is geared to that.
Okay. And then I guess in regards to the purple pipe, I know there was council discussion of this in the last council meeting, but I don't think there was any real mandate.
No, there's no final conclusion on that at all.
Okay.
Wouldn't this be an opportunity to consider something like that at this time for this particular project? It's as these become more and more in the city. You got the Gateway project, and these are going to all be using tertiary water or regular water for watering and other things. Isn't this the time to look at it? Anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Anyone else? Okay. We'll close it to the public then. We'll bring it back to the commission. Any further questions of the applicant before we give our render our comments on the project? Seeing none.
Could you consider solar? every opportunity. I think not just put it in now, but perhaps put in the necessary hardware, conduit, whatever, to put it in the future, if not now. Just a consideration. Has no bearing on my vote.
Okay. Mr. Anderson, do you want to go first?
Sure. I am not an architect, but I do have some architecture-related comments that I'd like to discuss on the building. But let me go through one item. This may sound like blasphemy. We are under density on the RR side, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. Two units under?
Correct.
Since, as we start to build out properties like this, now is the time to hit that density element rather than later on trying to piecemeal it in. I'd really like to see us, if we can park it and get to that level, I'd like to see the applicant at full density. Now, I know some people may say, hold on, that's crazy. You're clouding up the downtown, but the density was there for a purpose so that as this develops, whether it was one applicant or multiple applicants, we could reach that density level. So I'd like to see it at maximum density on the build-out if we can park it at that level. I love the live-work units. Absolutely love it. You've got the live-work units. You've got the residential component in the rear. And I'm looking at the C1 requirements, which Commissioner Waggy talked a little bit about, the having the residential components at the rear. And I'm looking also at the mixed-use district aspects here. It's not central commercial. So in the mixed-use district in the general plan, it's a wide variety of land uses, visitor lodging, commercial retail, restaurant service uses, et cetera. So we're not talking about the CC district under the general plan, where it says the primary land use focus is commercial. Now let's talk about the RR. When I look at the RR, it says it's reasonable to permit a mixture of hotels and motels along with apartments, condos, and other similar uses. I'm a little bit troubled here that in the RR portion, what we have are residences. We don't have hotels, motels, and it does call out for a mixture along with. But I'm looking also at the district that we're in here. So maybe I can get past that. And now if I could talk a little bit about the architecture aspects. Let's take a look, first of all, at the tower, corner of Price and Wadsworth. It's exceeding the 35-foot height limit. I know we have discretion for a 15% increment above that. I remember denying a residential project who had an open deck that you could see through in the C1 district, as I recall. This was a month or two ago.
It was in the R4 district.
In the R4 district.
Ocean and Cypress?
Right. Yeah. And where he could have gone to the 35-foot limit and wanted to get up in that area. If you put your hand over that tower, you're not really taking away anything on that building. You've got some articulation along that roof line. You don't need that tower. I don't like it. I don't like exceeding the 35-foot height limit in the area. So that's a problem for me. I know the applicant was told to break up the style on the structures and change the, you know, have the Cape Cod style or something other, mix the style so it doesn't look like one giant massing. I'm not a big fan of the Cape Cod style or whatever you might call it. To me, it doesn't fit in Pismo Beach. I'd like to see early California or Mediterranean, something, the stucco design like you have at the corner of Price Street in San Luis, something more along those lines instead of what I see on Dolliver and San Luis and Dolliver and Wadsworth. But if you decide to go, and I'll see what the other commissioners say, if you decide to go with this style, The materials don't excite me that much. I think you could do more with the material to liven it up and integrate it a little bit better. Now let's talk for a second about the depiction, and I'll take a look here. It'd be nice if we had the slides to be able to put up on the projector. Take a look at page 40 for a moment. I'm sorry, let's go to page 32. Now, if you take a look at page 32, is it possible to put those on the projector? Do we have a set? I just think it's going to help the audience here and the audience at home to see what I'm talking about. In fact, even better, page 31, I think, depicts it. Kill two birds with one stone. It's the Dolliver and San Luis rendering. There you go. And is it possible to maximize that? Okay, good enough. If you take a look at that, so this is residential component here, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You've got these pop-ups at the top on the third story there. Potentially, think about this for a moment. Potentially, see this this porch roofing above the first floor that just juts around the corner. You might get a little more building articulation if that follows on down the street, just the on around the corner there. And then you can have this second level that is there, and almost potentially a third level without having these pop-ups, because it gives it the at least sense of having a step back, even though there really isn't technically a step back. But the other issue is on the residential component. So you've got the sidewalk here, so the public area, and then I see some steps coming up, and you have, it looks like a woman with two children standing on the along the front of the house. You really want to have that porch continuation and an open railing to give a semi-private feeling, because as I understand it, this is private entryway into residences along here. So it helps the public as they see the project to differentiate between the public sidewalk, the semi-private walkway into the residential area, which ultimately transitions into the private area of the residential area. I think something like that, and I can show you because I have a drawing up here that I can overlay and show you exactly what I'm talking about. But I think that helps the building articulation. Now, let's go. On the commercial component, when we take a look at the corner of Price Street and Wadsworth, and I believe it's back one or two slides there, what I don't see, I'll give you a moment to see if you can get it back. Would a page number help you?
That's it.
Back one more. There you go. There's not, so we've got this commercial element here. I don't see a clear street entry that screams out to me, here are delineated business entry points. It would be nice, and I love your building articulation here. Look at the way you've broken from the first floor as you go up. Let me pull my copy out in front of me here. As you go up from the first floor, and then you've got the railing, and see how you have that overhang, which gives the feeling of a step back, but you don't really have a step back. You're still going up vertically, but visually it gives the feel as a pedestrian that you've got this step back. That's nice. You did a really nice job there, and that's what I'd like to see on this Cape Cod component, and I think also with some railing along there, since it's a residential component, it's going to help make it semi-private. My last comment next to last comment. On the Dolliver Street side, that's a rather large massing of a building. And at first I thought maybe the way to deal with that is to cut out, to have an opening between the buildings there. But I'm not necessarily inclined to see you impact your density that way. But I think if you could drop somewhere a story there, so that you give, there's the visual light component, so instead of looking at the two and three story run along there, if you have a portion that drops down a story so that you can see through, or you go to an archway, and I brought something from the Denver Technological Center drawing, which I'd be happy to share with you, that has an archway where they can see through. It could be a second story archway, so you have a walkway on the third story where it goes across, the first story is closed, but you have that visual light component in the second story. I think that's going to break up that massing, and that's was a concern to me, but I think it's a way to do it without impacting your overall project density. The last component is, I thought, on both your residential element and less so on your commercial element, that the depictions rendered very small, narrow windows and glass, and I'd like to see large glass, inviting glass, along the commercial side. And then on the residential side, maybe you don't want to do it necessarily on the first floor as much, but I'll show you in your photos that you provided examples. If you go to page 45, it's the far right-hand side. It says, example, exposed decorative brick surface with glass storefront. I like that glass storefront. I think that would look good at Price Street and Wadsworth or something along those lines. And then for the porches, if you want to see, if you take a look on your page number 48, on the far right-hand side, provides a photo of the house there. And take a look how those pillars bring. Even though that house has no step back on the second floor, do you see how that porch overhang and the pillars give that visual effect? And then if you added a railing along there, you're starting to accomplish what it was I was saying in the residential component. But take a look at those windows. Those windows go way up towards the ceiling. They're not the smaller, narrower ones. And I realize that I'm not here to serve as an architect or to second guess you, but again, I think you're so close on a fantastic project and you've got this opportunity to integrate it. I thought that these ideas, these concepts, since we sit here as well to provide the planning component, might at least shed some light on some ideas I have to drive you towards what I think would be a better overall project. You've done great work. These renderings were fantastically helpful. We wouldn't be able to have this discussion tonight without the work that you had put forward here. So my compliments to you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Burns, would you like to weigh in next?
Sure, and I'll be much shorter because I agree with most everything Commissioner Anderson said, and that was pretty well spoken. It's getting real close to being a really nice project. It's a rare opportunity that we have to craft an entire city block. It's a rare opportunity for you as an architect and as an owner. I think that requires us to be maybe a little bit more careful. But in the end, I think everybody wins. As far as Commissioner Anderson's comments about you would like to see them build out at density, what if they were to forfeit the remaining density, and is that legal? Commissioner Anderson had asked them, they're two units short of density. He's concerned that at some point in time, somebody's going to come back and ask to do something. Am I correct?
Good question, and the answer is briefly no. What I would like to see is if they're able to build it at density at this stage, now's the time to do it. And I'm all in favor of that because it's such a cohesive overall project. So it's not that I'm necessarily concerned about somebody coming back and asking to build more. It's the fact that they may be precluded from doing it because now all the buildings are plopped into place.
Right. Okay.
Scott, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Well, some of the comments that were just made, maybe want to wait till the end of the commissioner comments, but you should, my suggestion would be that you have the applicant get back up here and address them. These are design concerns, and they relate to the density of the site and how the units align, the open areas that are provided each of these units. I mean, a lot of that consideration went into the location of the units and why they don't have them. So I think they probably would like an opportunity to discuss those issues with you, so I would encourage you to do it.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll hear from everybody and then probably have the applicant come up and address some of those.
I think on the ordinance for the RR zone, when we're talking about hotel, motel, along with residential, et cetera, as I listen to that, it to me, and I realize the word along with means both, but I think maybe that's a poorly chosen or poorly worded, and perhaps to me, as I sense what I believe would be the intent there, it might have been worded better to say hotel, motel, as well as, because I don't think that we're trying to single out the RR zone for hotel, motel development and then allow people to do secondary uses through there. I think that I'm comfortable with that definition. Everything else you had to say about the design, I agree with. I still would have been a proponent of two buildings, of two separate buildings on the Price Street elevation. However, I think the designer's just done a really marvelous job and listened real well to the direction given in the last meeting. And certainly a consensus of the Planning Commission is that this building along the commercial portion of the building is perhaps, like you said, maybe break it up just a little more with the removal of maybe one story, which would probably be advantageous to you over actually having to redesign into two buildings there. As I said last time, the residential portion of the property is quite satisfactory to me. So those would be my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Cox-Miranda, would you like to go next?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to thank the applicant for addressing some of the items in the last hearing. I think you did a really great job in, with staff in the items that you did find to be of most importance. I'm very glad that you dealt with the tandem parking and the variances. I thought that you could do that and that you would still come out with a viable product. And also I'm glad that you looked at each zone district separately. I think that makes more sense, and I think it's better planning in general for the future vision of Pismo in that area as we continue our build out. I have a couple concerns about still the lack of no form of some type of view analysis from the street through the residential portion and what kind of like view corridors we're going to see, if there's going to be any sort of pathways or lighting, because it seems to me that that we are going to block off a portion of our hillside when you go 101, or sorry, not 101, but Highway 1 North. Commissioner Anderson brought this up last time, that the general plan under the conservation element does talk about that portion of the coastal foothills, and it is being lopped off everywhere. So it's like, since it's being lopped off here, it's not going to make a big thing. I just would somehow, I was really hoping to see some form of a pedestrian view analysis, because there's a whole block through the building, especially the RR section, and just the way in which the RR section is going to impact the foothills. It's not there. I would have really liked it. I still think it's worth presenting to the commission, because this is a mass of an entire block. A couple of other of concerns that I have. I think that you have nearly a perfect project as well now, as Commissioner Anderson has stated, because you've addressed so many things from the last hearing. But I am still extremely troubled by the architectural rendition of the building on Price Street and Wadsworth Avenue. It still, to me, does not represent what I hope to see going down that corridor of our city. It's too boxy. It's too industrial-looking. I think that the RR section and the architectural design and choice closer to the ocean fits nicely. I agree with Commissioner Anderson on some of your examples, and opening up the massing with some more windows is an excellent idea. But I am just not at all pleased with what I see on the corner of Price and Wadsworth Avenue, despite lowering it and varying the three-story, two-story. Thank you very much for that. I hope everybody takes that into consideration as they develop in our downtown. We need that broken up. But it's just not fitting to me. And I must say that what's so important for me as a resident is that Price Street is like the locals' street. That's where we go down and do our banking. I feel that that's a real community street. Not that Dolliver and all the other ones aren't, but we know that those foster a different sort of experience when you drive down those streets. Price Street, to me, is where the locals and the residents go, and that's their version of Pismo and their vision of Pismo. And this is not, I am very hung up on the design that you have again proposed for that portion of Price Street. And I think that you can continue to improve it with I don't know what to tell you, but it just does not, it is not my vision of that area of our city. And I'm concerned about that tower. And I do realize that our mitigated negative declaration in the project description did bring up the a number. It says a number of architectural features will exceed 35 feet, but you're still within the 15% exception provided for architectural building extension. But it referenced all of these features. Are there more other than the tower? Do you have more that's going on above the 35
tower,
feet?
And there's various pieces of the. Tower, and there's various pieces along that frontage that stick up, including a couple of small pitched roof pieces to remove the flat roof type of design that you would otherwise have, meaning the architectural elements. And they do extend slightly up into that 35-foot. But again, yeah, if the commission agrees, those things can extend into the thing. And the reason that policy is written into the zoning code is to allow for articulation. The problem is when you end up with commercial and residential square footage, you know, mixed together in a project, you come pretty much right up to that 35-foot height limitation when you're putting it together. You know, you don't typically have commercial space that has 8-foot ceilings. You know, so you end up with taller ceilings, 10, 12-foot ceilings, 15-foot ceilings in your commercial spaces, and it constrains your development. So I think that's the reason why that exception is built into our ordinance, is to allow for the articulation that our design guidelines and our design element of our general plan talk about. I think it's to address and allow those things.
Okay.
But I mean, I kind of got off point a little bit. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's so all of these features that are exceeding the 35 are at the 40.25.
No, they're not. I mean, they vary. They kind of bounce up and down in between there. The grading information for the project site as it lays over the roofing elements is I don't have specific numbers on all of them. On all the peaks, I have them for some of them, and I had to kind of extrapolate what those elevation numbers would be. They're all within the height limit, all within the exception, but they vary. The different features of it vary inside of that, meaning you get up to 40.25 feet or whatever. Some of them are less than that. Some of them are 37. Some of them are 36. Some of them, I mean, they vary throughout the project like that.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. So this tower here, you'll see it off the freeway, or just that little point.
Well, you're not going to see very much of this project from the freeway because it's all there's some pictures that are taken from the project site, but the freeway is one raised. Two, there's a lot of vegetation along that area. It opens up right as you drive by the street on Wadsworth. I mean, it'd be like half a second. I don't know if you'd be able to see on the street really quickly if you looked, but otherwise it's obscured. You know, most of it's obscured from the Highway 101.
All right, I was just curious as to how far that little point went up into the air off the tower. So I'm still not there with, in particular, the building on the corner of Price and Wadsworth, but all of the other issues that you addressed from the last hearing, I'm extremely pleased that you took them into consideration. You still made this project work up to this point. I would also, I'm trying to think if I have any issues right now, and perhaps at our deliberation I could wrap up another concern. Thank you.
Mr. Waggie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, it's a much better project. I really like the 3D renderings. It makes our job much easier. As far as some details here on the live-work restriction on page 94, Commissioner Burns and I talked about, Vice Chairman Burns. On the third bullet under item 9, live-work restriction, if the rest of the commission goes along, I'd recommend we allow employees to use that space as well and put in language, perhaps live-work unit shall be occupied and used by a business operator, insert, or employee who works at unit. Well, full-time, whatever, I'm not sure, full-time employee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate employee, okay.
You're going to make me happy with the legitimate part.
Illegitimate employees, okay.
And
also at the end of that sentence.
For me.
Also at the end of the sentence, at least one member or a family of which at least one member shall be the business operator or with the same language. And then with respect to the work portion, do we need to specify it needs to be for commercial uses? I was concerned also at the last hearing that we make sure this not becomes extended living space.
Yes,
now, because it's already, the code already says it's going to be commercial, but should we put in something, the work portion shall be used solely for commercial uses and not for residential uses? Do we need that, or the code already requires it?
Well, they're required to use it as commercial. If the commission wants to make sure that, I'd be fine. We could add something.
Okay, I'd suggest adding.
It's clarification, I guess, if that's what you're looking for.
Sure, I just want to make sure we don't. It just seems to me it's easy to make this extended living rather than work, live work. Of course, if you are an architect, maybe you kind of spread out anyway. I don't know, to your work area. But anyway, the work portion shall be used solely for commercial uses and not for residential uses. I'd put down something like that if the rest of the commission agrees with the language. I really love, again, the fact that we have underground parking. I would like to see more projects coming before us with underground parking. It's a great place to put the cars. I have, as I mentioned, really no problem with the Wadsworth entrance exit. With respect to some of the architectural features, I think Commissioner Anderson made some good points about especially the residential portion to make sure it's clear it's residential with railings or whatever. And I think as far as the, I think, again, the staff has done a good job trying to parse which part is commercial, which part is residential, and I think considering as a whole is probably the best approach, and with giving due respect to both portions of it. Those are my comments at this time, Mr. Chairman. I agree with a lot of the other commissioner comments as well on some of the issues.
All right. I would commend the applicant. I think you really listened to us, and that's appreciated. Sometimes we have these sessions, and we come back, and there aren't any changes made, so it's nice to see that you were able to accommodate us and some of the things that we were concerned about. I think that we're fortunate to have your firm do this, and I'm glad you bought the property because I think it's a real challenge to do a whole city block, and I think that your firm is capable and has proven that you can do that. I don't have any problems with this project. I think it's definitely going to be an asset to our city. Right now it's a vacant lot with two abandoned homes. It's obviously going to be a great improvement. We're going to get some commercial elements out of this. We're going to have some people living downtown. From what I've heard from the public, these are all things that are of interest and concern of the citizens of Pismo Beach. I don't have any problem if you want, this is a big project with a lot of things happening on it, and if you can lose the tower, and if it's going to make other commissioners happy, I think that's, hopefully that's a small concession for you. I don't think it really adds anything. In fact, as I was reviewing the materials, I put my hand over it to see what it would look like without it. And, you know, if it's an issue for some, I certainly would go along with seeing this project approved and having you have more yay votes if that was one of the problems. So the tower, as far as I'm concerned, if it could be eliminated, would probably be a good mitigation to get the project approved by the majority of the group. The covered porch, I could see Commissioner Anderson's point there. It seems like it's, you want to try to, it's to make sure that that does deem residential and it is private, and I think just continuing that porch along would just add to the ambiance of that. I love the idea of the porches. I like that from when you came forward before us. Although it is a Cape Cod style, I feel pretty good about it being a beach style, which I think is what we're trying to find as residential in the downtown. So I'm very happy with the way the residential part of this came out. It's really nice to almost, it's really establishing kind of a little neighborhood feel to it. The commercial windows, as far as I would agree that I think anything we can do on the, one of the things that we really strive for is to have the commercial down below and have that really be prominent, and I think that would certainly, I would certainly go along with that as a suggestion. And then also, I don't really have a problem with the commercial building itself. I think it's got to, just the nature of it being commercial, it's got to distinguish itself from the residential, and I think that's what you do. You make it very separate. I don't think that it's ultra-modern. There's a lot of brick. If you look at the buildings that are in our downtown, a lot of them are brick. I think that the aspect of that commercial building in our downtown, I think it's going to, again, be an asset. The commercial restriction, I don't have any problem with that. As Mr. Waggy mentioned, I just think as much as we can emphasize that we want this to be commercial and not residential for the live-work. Certainly agree with letting an employee that condition. And as far as the density, I guess that is one issue that I think is sort of major, and I would probably ask the applicant to come up and address that. I don't have a problem. I don't share that same concern. I think that having it 2 units short will just, again, make for probably a better project in the sense of it having some open space and having some areas where the public can go. Also, having that the parking, have it overparked versus having it parked to the fullest, I think would be a plus. But with that, I will bring you up, and maybe you can address some of these things. Again, I think it's the tower. It's the possibilities of doing that covered porch, maybe addressing the commercial windows down below, and building out to full density. Is that?
And the step down on one of the stories. Sorry, and Commissioner Anderson, the step down on one of the stories in the commercial Price Street frontage?
Yeah, it was actually... when I was going through the renderings here, give me one moment and I'll tell you. It was.
Well, he's looking for that. I just wanted to ask you, too. You've obviously seen all the other conditions of approval. You're comfortable with those from what staff suggested. Do you have any?
You mean outside of this conversation?
Yes.
Okay. We are, except with one that we'll bring up, and okay. Perhaps it's not negotiable, but. We feel we should.
Now's the time to bring it up.
Yeah, we will.
Hey, don't ask, don't get.
Yeah, correct.
I also have another comment related to one of the conditions of approval. We've had an issue. We mentioned it. We brought it up with the applicant right before we had the meeting, and it relates to drainage improvements for the project side. I think some of you will recall this was an issue that was brought up at the last meeting. And the city does have a drainage master plan that does have improvements that are specifically related to Wadsworth Street and does have improvements of a 42-inch pipe, correct, and there's four drainage inlets that are also associated, are adjacent to this project that we'd like to change the conditions of approval to specifically pick up implementation of that improvement. Now, we probably would have required under the existing conditions as they are because they have specifically under grading and drainage, page 99 of 108. We want to alter condition 46 such that the applicant's required to implement and install the piping for the portion of it adjacent to their frontage, including the inlets.
And that's something you've discussed with the applicant?
Yes, it is.
And you're familiar with that?
Yes.
Are you good with that?
Yes.
Okay. And then when a motion's made, if it's for approval, we'll need to have that read into it as well. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and address some of those issues?
I want to start with first thanking the staff. Scott and I have been on the phone quite a bit in the last few weeks, so we appreciate it. And we do this. We're in front of commissions at least twice a month, and we don't usually face 95-page staff reports, so it's quite an effort. We greatly appreciate it. This is a big project, and, of course, it's a very serious one and one that you should take seriously in terms of being careful. With that, I would say that we appreciate all the comments about the architecture. This is something, of course, this is what we're about. By no means is this the end-all, that we show these and this is it. We will continue to study this, continue to analyze, continue to address these issues. If you remember last, there was a series of citizens who came up and showed porches from the area, actually a building that was no longer there but was there 100 years ago that did have peaks and towers and actually added to the skyline. And those things and those thoughts have been brought forth today. We feel strongly that the residential character of this is not Cape Cod. If you're from that side of the country, you may call it that if you wish, but from those of us who are from this side of the country, you might consider this a central coastal craftsman bungalow, what have you. Obviously, people moved from that side to this side, and some were already here. And there are these examples here up and down our coast, and very good ones. And so with that, you see here the porches and porches of different kinds. We intend that this building, because it is a whole block that is broken up in a fashion in terms of its character, it would look like it was made over time, the way all blocks were made. Therefore, each one of the porches, it's difficult. These are big houses, right, because it's a big project. But that each one of the porches, let me forward here, that they look like different houses, which, in fact, that's the intent, and that they're built over time. The issue of – so we do appreciate that. We'll continue to study that for sure. The issue of density is a very good one. We'd like to address that as well. And it's not – in this case, you know, we're only as good as our clients in this case, and the client's objectives here are to create something that's a beautiful place to live and that has longevity over time so that we're not here. This place will be, and someone will be showing slides of this project to someone else sitting in your seats now, hopefully knocked down but still in place. And the point of that is that this project is one that, if you look at the site plan, it's best shown here that there's a series of courtyards, and this is kind of multi-tasking in terms of the addressing issues. It was brought up by Commissioner Cox-Miranda about views. Well, views through the project are one thing. Views from the project is another. If you're in the backyard of your house, which, in fact, this is what we intend these to be, houses along the line of street, and they are public spaces that are semi-public. They're shared by these residents. There's no real backyards. Per se, there's defined semi-private spaces. Nevertheless, that you would sit in this court and look up and see the hillside. Now, to allow someone to walk along and walk through this property is a big issue for us, because if any one of you or myself live in this property, safety is an issue. And if you think about your single-family house, it probably has a gate around it. Probably has a front gate, might be low, might have bushes. But security is paramount. Now, it doesn't mean barbed wire. It just means that if I'm walking along Dolliver like I was today and decide to walk through your property, there will be an issue. So this is addressing that issue. While respect the idea that you would view from this to the water, if you could, we cannot because there's buildings below us that are much higher, but we do respect looking up to see the hills. And, in fact, the massing of this building around these buildings around these courts are such that they allow that to happen, that the courts are wider than the height of the building that are adjacent to them. So you sit in them and you look up through. That will continue to be studied. The building massing along Price, respecting the fact that the last comment from the last presentation was that we articulate this more, this face here along Price, that while we're allowed three stories, that it should be broken up into several pieces, and perhaps even a notch or a passageway through. Again,
walking through property is probably an issue. It is an issue for us, but notch massing the building and varying its height is doable, meaning you leave area, massing, volume, and units on the table. We have, in some cases, only two-story buildings. To lower it yet even more would be, we'd leave more units on the table. If you look here at this diagram here, this is the plan, this entire mixed-use building here, this building here, there's only the portion here on either corner and then the one in the middle. Those are the only three-story portions of the building, here on either corner and one in the middle. Everything else is two-story. And on the back side of that building, it's all two-story. So there's only a small percentage of that entire building that is actually three stories. Now, we do feel also very strongly about, let's see if I can get back to this. We feel strongly about the character of this building along Price. We think that this building, again, is made up of a series of different kinds of building, different looking characters of building that all make up a street frontage, that it shouldn't be the same, and thereby it shouldn't be the same, that the height of these buildings are the same. Removing the tower, respectfully speaking, of if this was a condition, removing that tower, actually, we don't agree. We think removing the tower adversely affects the character of the building by not manipulating the silhouette of its shape. If you put your hand over it, some of you have done so, it takes away an element that is a character issue. It's not occupiable. We don't rent it. It's just there to evoke a kind of lighthouse coastal feel, to try to get into this idea of its place, where it is in its setting. To create buildings that are 35 feet consistently across the site, we think would be detrimental, and therefore we have not. So making a pancake building is certainly not what we want to do. So we would argue for the tower, and, well, you can see it there. That's one of the issues. The issue of the live-work, we also have concern for the condition that would be placed of only allowing commercial activity, retail activity to happen on the ground floor. The idea of live-work by its nature is that you can live there or you can work there, that the ground floor would be flex space. If the market is such that no retail is viable for the next 10 years, then what happens to that space? It's a boarded-up space. That's not something that you really want. And during that time, in that 10 years, or whatever it happens to be, if someone sees it fit that they could have a loft space, this is a high space, mind you, sees it that they could actually have a mezzanine open to below, a sleeping loft within that space, and has their architectural shop down below, and they have their bed up above in the sleeping loft, then that seems like the way you would want to go in terms of not having it boarded up and or having this. So its intention is so that it is flexible, flex space on the ground floor and residential above. That we would, so that we would like to bring up to you is not posing that as a condition on this project. The issue of, again, back to the density, because I want to circle back, it's related to parking. The density, the minute we go over 50 total units, we're at 49, the minute we hit 50, the amount of parking doubles in terms of guests. So we go from one car for four units to one car per two. So even though we would go to 50 units or 51, it's not the bump on additional two units, it's the bump on all of the units, thereby meaning something in the order of 25 more cars. So if we put two more units on this site, we've got 25 more cars to deal with. Right now, we have about 77,000 square feet and some change on this site. Lots of open space, 77,000 square feet of building, and underneath we have about the same. So the conditions of parking are quite extreme, more extreme than we see anywhere else. This is not something we're arguing, and we're not proposing a variance. We're just simply stating that you can't max out the density. You can't have the kind of walkability if the parking situation is so extreme. It's an issue. It's a big issue, especially if you double the amount of guest cars. So that's one issue. And then related to the parking in the garage is that the requirement here in this case was 24 feet. We were asked to increase the width of the garage. I understand that there's some possibilities of that moving around. Right now we show 24 feet. Based on the requirements, and granted it's a 1983 code, perhaps, you know, codes have advanced since then, and we can tell you in our experience that a code and a ramp of this, a width of this nature and a ramp of, that's being required here will allow people to go very fast in their cars as they exit this building. It's not a safe environment. It's not safe. Are we arguing to actually propose something less? Yes, if possible, it's up for discussion. It's not safe. It's not a safe condition if you're walking by there and someone is allowed to go. We have approximately 60 to 70 feet of run that you can actually go in your car, and it's 24 feet wide. The wider, the faster you'll go. The straighter, the faster you'll go. We all know this. The narrower, the slower you'll go, and the more careful you'll be. So if I'm a pedestrian on the street, it presents a huge hazard to us. Granted, and also, on top of that, there's no obstructions. We have the cone of unobstructed views as you exit the parking as required per the code. No trees, no nothing in the way, so that the driver can go ahead and whip up the drive and take the turn either way. It's not a good situation. So this is something that we want to bring to your attention. It's a problem. It's a problem for perhaps not today, but in the summer when we were here visiting, it's a real issue. There's people walking around all over. And so I think we have a problem on our hands if we continue to, you know, promote the speed of cars. I think that's pretty much it in terms of the addressing issues. I think we've addressed most of what was brought up.
Okay. I'll just weigh in on, I think that as far as the live work, I think that, and I'm just speaking for myself, the other commissioners can weigh in on this. This is probably what we need to do is just kind of come back with the comments that you made and see where we're all at with trying to get a motion so we can move forward. The live work aspects. Did you want to?
Sorry.
The live work aspects, we're counting that as commercial, so we want to see that portion, people working there. So the flexibility and letting the market decide is to me not really an option because that's part of the commercial element that we're counting. As far as you think you kind of answered as far as covering in some of the porches, you don't have a problem with that. The full density, you explained that to my satisfaction as far as what that would do for the added parking. Personally, I mean, I know you want the tower, but if it comes down to not having your project approved, I'd lose the tower. All the examples that you showed us, as far as if you look right there on the one item there that shows the brick facade, there's no examples that have that other feature to it. I personally think, and again, I'm at least probably the ones that want to tell you how to do your job and design things, but I also believe in compromise, and if that's the one issue on a huge project like this, you know, that's something I think we need to talk about. I appreciate you championing it, but if you have the majority of the commissioners not liking it, you know, that may be something you may want to go back and rediscuss. Those are my comments. Anybody else want to weigh in on?
Yeah, with respect to the tower, I think it's a nice element. I could go either way on it. If the majority of the commission doesn't like it, then, you know, we'll just take it out. But it doesn't seem to be too obtrusive, and it does add a nice feature there. But it does, you know, we are sensitive about height downtown as well, and so I could go either way on that one. With respect to live work, I think, too, maybe the language could be changed a bit, but I guess the point is we want to make sure it doesn't become residential. And if you have some alternative language that could achieve that purpose, I'd like to hear it, but I'm just trying to get some language that makes sure we honor the commitment that it be commercial.
Yeah, I don't think we're saying it has to be retail. I think that, you know, your analogy of an architect, I mean, as long as that's being utilized for some sort of business, we don't want it to turn into another residential unit.
Right. I guess I should probably clarify. The language I don't have, perhaps we can help facilitate in that regard, but we're not suggesting it's an additional unit per se, but part of the same one that goes up. Right now we have a unit that's connected vertically. So the idea of actually being able to use that as part of the unit, now whether it's additional, obviously that's not the question here. As an additional unit, that would mean additional six. That's not what we're saying. Just the flexibility that it might be used for such a thing. And then I would also like
I'm
to
I'm not
add,
quite following you on that.
I don't either.
Well, the idea that it's that it can be used. I mean, if a person can't occupy it, if you choose to have your sleeping loft there, let's say, then and it's still part of the unit you have above, you're well, let me put it this way. If it can't be anything other than commercial and I live there, then I can't use that ground floor. I can't use my own ground floor for anything else other than commercial activity. That's the part that we're trying to stress. Not that you would add an additional unit. You would take one unit and make it two, but rather that I'm allowed to use that unit as a place to live.
Well, I think that what we're saying is it's live-work, so it's not just live. They have to work there, too. Why is it called live-work if that's not the case?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think where the disconnect is I think the applicant is treating it as live or work or live and or work, and I'm treating it as live and work. It shall be commercial downstairs. It shall be, and I will not approve it unless it is.
I would actually turn that around and consider it work, live, so that work is the first word.
Mr. Chair, if I may comment on Mr. Moreno's suggestion about flex space and agree with my fellow commissioners, this is commercial C1, and I would never allow the flexibility of it turning into residential under any market demands. We need to maintain our commercial core, our commercial zone. Thank you.
Okay, understood. Then I would like to add if we would be open to having the additional two units that we're under if, in fact, we weren't didn't have the guest parking bump. So if the condition was revised to allow additional two units, still provide them their necessary guest parking, but under the one car per four units, not the one car per two, across the entire board.
Can somebody read that ordinance?
I would actually like to address that if I can.
Thank you.
The issue where this came up before is if you have over 50 units, your guest parking space is basically, your requirement is basically doubled. They don't run into that issue now with the way that we have it proposed. Originally, we had the live-work piece of it wrapped in to the overall guest space requirement, treating them all like residential units, so they were at 49 units. We've since they parked it and had a commercial, it's completely a separate situation now. Now they have 43 residential units and six live work. They don't have anything to do with one another now. I mean, at least the way we're treating it now, if the commission agrees, then the residential density and the parking requirement, the guest space requirement for that is based on 43 units, meaning they could up it to 45 and still be five units underneath the requirement before it kicks in to get them down to two per.
And that's something that you would entertain?
Absolutely.
Well, the consensus of the commission was that they, me being the odd man out, was that you didn't want to blend the density through the zone. You wanted, I think the four of you, or three of the four, you wanted to see the density set in the RR zone as RR and the density set in the commercial zone as a commercial. So with that, you know, knowing that that's the consensus, then it might, then you're looking at 45 units, and hey, you're going to argue with you can argue with a reduced land cost, maybe not, huh?
No, that sounds great. We hadn't talked, Scott and I hadn't talked about it. We talked about many
details. Yeah, ultimately it came up as a change in design and how we were calculating the parking requirement. The original, you know, decision that we had talked about, you know, combining the how we were parking the live-work units, it came from that because we weren't parking the commercial aspect of it. We were simply parking it as residential units, two per, and then to get a couple extra spaces for the guest spaces, we added those to the residential piece. So it upped the number somewhat in doing that, so they got some extra spaces in there. But now they park the thing separately, and it's a whole different. I mean, they park the residential component, they park the commercial component, and we're not adding them to the, at least that's not the proposal anyway, adding them to the residential component to bring it up to 50 units or whatever. We're not doing that now.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think what Vice Chairman Burns said, we're not blending zones here. You have parked separately your commercial component and separately parked the residential component, correct?
Well, you have 43 straight residential units, and you have 6 live-work units, which
right.
is really, you know, based
commercial.
On how this is functioning, a separate entity. They're
yes.
not residential units.
Exactly, and I agree. They're not residential units.
And that's how this proposal before you this evening with findings is functioning.
Right.
So that means they have the ability to get the extra 2 if they needed it.
Okay.
Well, before we weren't, when we were kind of blending it all together,
right.
it was really hard from a staff standpoint
right.
to say, okay, we're going to put them in here and get guest spaces, but we're not really counting them as residential units now. I mean, that was kind
okay.
of like, I don't know, we're flipping it back and forth on you, and that didn't really seem like, well, it didn't make any sense from a staff standpoint. Now, separating them out, you have distinct, separate uses there, and I don't think there's an issue. It doesn't seem to be, and if the commission agrees.
Well, you also made the case for the project as it exists now for how open it is, and, I mean, is that going to change with adding two more?
It does. It affects it, yeah, certainly. And actually, I would... Yeah, we can do 2 units. It's not the issue. There's right now we have nothing stacked on the whole residential portion. Nobody's above anybody else. It's something that on the mixed-use side, we do. There's smaller units. It's tighter. It's a stiffer building. On the residential court, everybody is on the ground. We can manipulate that some, certainly. That was our intention to begin with. It was always that max of the 50 thing that was really...
But I guess my question is it going to detract from the project as it exists now as far as being open and
if
all the things you just described as one of the reasons why it is what it is?
Yeah, we wouldn't take away from the open space that you see now. It would be a manipulation of the unit size.
The parking, how would you address with the additional 5 parking spaces? Is that what it would be?
Yeah. That's
it would be one more, an additional guest space and 2 for each unit?
Correct, 4 more.
5 more, is that
Yeah, that's doable. That's doable.
And staying within the...
They're not pushed to the edges of the envelope.
Microphone's off.
Sorry.
They're not pushed to the edges of their envelope right now, so they have
okay.
room to manipulate.
So it wouldn't affect, I want to make sure, it wouldn't affect the integrity of the open space. That's something that wouldn't go away. It's always been the premise here anyways. And the unit sizes have always been subject to the open space being of a certain quality. So if the 2 were possible, then they would have to fit within the envelope that is proposed today.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if Mr. Moreno would need to confer briefly with his client, who's actually the owner of the property is here, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, is that a question? Maybe
well, before
we're
you,
all talking about
before
it.
Before you do that, what I'd like to do is, before you guys do that, I'd like to cover all the issues.
Okay.
Because we need to break anyway for the next presentation, correct? Mm-hmm. So what we could do is we could not render a decision on this, take a break, get everybody, because you don't need any more visual aids probably for this. We can go ahead and set up the other. Can we do that?
Sure. Yeah.
And so, while, in other words, I'm trying to get 2 things done at once. Well, we have to take a break anyway. You guys could confer. We could come back. Again, I don't have a problem with the tower, to be honest with you. I'd be comfortable for you to leave it. I'm just saying that if you want to get probably 1 more commissioner's vote, you might want to think about that. But I personally don't have a problem. What is your feeling?
I actually think that the tower does serve a purpose of helping to further the breaking up of the mass. And again, I'm on the fence about it. If I could take it or leave it.
And I disagree with the applicant's comment that the pictures that Effie McDermott showed here at the last meeting showed a tower perched on top of a building. It did not. It was the El Pismo building, I believe, and I'd be happy to get those pictures for you.
Which is this piece here.
Because they ran parallel. Instead of this tower here at the corner of Price and Wadsworth, if you looked, the tower actually started below the roof ridge line and ran parallel vertically up on it. It was not perched on top like that. But I can make it easy for you. I would not approve of the project with the tower, and that'll make it simple, and you can tally up your votes. The other thing that I would like to see before I approve of the project is, now that I know there are multiple elevations that exceed the 35-foot height limit, I want to know exactly where they are, what they are, and how much they exceed it, because I'm not comfortable having this broad brush glossing over that there's peaks out there that are up above that limit. I want to know where they are and what they are.
If I may address that issue directly, is my reference to the precedence that was provided was a precedence of this nature here, the pyramidal roof, not the kind of lighthouse roof, but this one here that you see. There are no places other than the tower here, let's call it the lighthouse tower, that exceed the 35 feet. We're completely within compliance. with exception of roof slopes, the code reads that you can go 35 feet to the top of structure, and then you have a required parapet and or roof structure that's unoccupiable. So on the residential side, we're clean because it's they're two-story buildings with an occasional occupied attic. There's a room inside of an attic. We're not three-story. The only place we get close to the 35 or exceed it is along this building here. Let me go back to, well, the one that's below, the lower, the version where it's along Price and Wadsworth. That tower is the only portion that exceeds, and we would still make the argument that if we're allowed to have the tower, we would stay within the 15% allowable and ask for no variances on this issue. Everywhere else, we're within the 35, within the code. We don't have peaks, and this was actually a misunderstanding. There are no other exceptions other than the lighthouse.
So on the corner of Price and San Luis, the white, it almost looks like a little chimney.
This piece here.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a two-story, so we're well within.
Okay.
The one behind it.
That, right there.
This goes up, and right there at the eave line is 35, and it pitches up. So the pitch would extend up at a slope that, frankly, is not even required because it could be a mansard or not, but we're what saying.
What is that? Isn't there's a chimney or something sticking out here? That.
Yeah.
What is
that? Yeah, they wouldn't exceed the 15% allowable.
But it does exceed 35 feet, which
correct.
Is what Commissioner
correct.
Anderson is saying.
But again, I think we have to look at the reason for this is we've got a whole city block. And I know that this came up when they had the very first conceptual review. And I was even guilty of it, thinking that we wanted to all have some symmetry to it. Well, then I corrected myself because the point was well taken. This is we want this to look like it occurred at different times. So we've got to have different pitches and heights and colors and styles. So from that standpoint, I think you need those articulations to make it look, to give it that look.
Yeah, we agree. And by no means would we risk the votes on this to make a point about height, but we will say that, it was important to say because it's part of the integrity of the architecture, and it's important to make this specific to its place. This was an issue to address this place, and the tower was such. But we can stay within the 15% allowable, 15% above the 35. And then those only two conditions are this one here. And if you consider a chimney extension, which I guess, in fact, it is, it's not a room, but it's a chimney, then, yes, that does extend above. Those are the two positions.
Okay.
I have one more question,
sure.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
mm-hmm.
and for the community development director and perhaps Mr. Graham. Do I understand correctly that when we're getting projects here and you're telling me that a residence is at a 25-foot height, that it's not really 25 feet, it's taller? That
no.
with the roof
no.
pitch,
no,
it's above that?
No, it's 25 feet to the peak of the roof.
Right. And over here, when I look at the corner of Price Street in San Luis on the building with the chimney that goes up, if you tell me that roof, as the slope goes back, if you tell me that doesn't exceed 35 feet, how many feet does it not exceed?
The roof portion at the back of that building does exceed the 35-foot height limitation.
It does.
But it's not, it's they could have a flat roof there. It's an architectural feature of this building.
But would you tell me that? Would I see in the report that it exceeds the 35-foot height limit? I want to know the height.
I simply added the allowance in there for the 15% in there. That's,
gotcha.
That's how this was addressed
and
for
that's what,
types of buildings.
Yeah, and that's what called it out for me.
Yeah,
so
right.
you do identify for me when you're asking
absolutely.
For any yeah. variance over that.
Yeah, and normally I have the exact
good.
Height.
Right answer.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wasn't clear on that either. I mean, I thought that 35 feet was 35
okay.
feet.
Okay. Are we ready for them to deliberate then? Then we'll take our break.
Okay. Sure.
No, Mr. Chair, I have a quick question regarding, you said there were some conditions you didn't agree with, so including the driveway width one, our condition 38, I think it is, that requires 24 feet. You're disagreeing with not
no,
wanting that?
No, it's a comment. It's not. We have 24 feet. 24 feet is shown. That was asked of us.
Uh-huh.
It's shown. That's what it is. My comment was only an issue of professional experience talking about safety. That's all that was.
Okay, so you do agree with our condition
yeah.
on that one. All right.
And what would you recommend on that?
18 feet.
We've got ordinances that address that.
I actually have an exception written in here to 20 as well, with approval of engineering and fire.
to allow it to be narrowed.
Yeah, maybe we have better hear from our engineer here.
Yeah, I'm Brian Duncan with the City Engineering Department. We would recommend not doing anything less than 24 feet. We're going to have pedestrians coming up and down that ramp in reality, and to share the road with two cars that are going by with somebody trying to hug the side of the road, it's going to be a problem. And that, to me, would be a bigger safety concern.
Okay.
Speed for, you know, people going up and down the ramp.
Okay. And just, I'm sure you, because you go through, you address a lot of commissions, if we would approve it, it's still going to go to engineering, and if they have an issue with it, you're going to take it up with them. So.
Oh, certainly. It doesn't stop here. We're going to go to the fire department, and there's a lot of other people who will.
So I think that's probably something we don't even need to.
Correct. You can address the 24 was requested. It's shown, and that's what we have on the drawings.
And if you want to designate a certain area for cars and a certain area for people, you know, that. But I think we still need the 24 feet.
Do speed bumps work?
Excellent idea. That will slow down these vehicles. That's what the applicant's concern was vehicles racing up there. So speed bumps would be a way to approach that issue, and I think it's a good idea.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, your name again from engineering?
Brian Duncan.
Yes, Mr. Duncan, I would agree with you that I don't think we should go any less than 24 feet. I appreciate
your comment. With the number of cars that we have coming.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I thank you very much for being here.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
None.
Okay, let's take 5 minutes, and then we'll come back, and we'll wrap this up. Okay. Why don't we hear from the applicant? You're going to give us kind of an update on what you guys decided, hearing some of the concerns.
Okay. First thing is we'll lose the tower. It's not an issue. You know. The other one, I think it's up for discussion or for a comment, is we would like to have the two units to meet our allowable density and meet the guest cars for the one car per four units instead of going to one. And I'm understanding that that's no longer an issue for us any longer because we're splitting it. So mm-hmm. We would add two units to this, provide the five extra cars.
Right. And then I think you kind of heard us as far as the whole live work. We consider
correct.
That
yeah.
live
yeah.
and work.
Understood.
Not live
understood.
Or work. So.
Yeah, we agree.
Okay.
We understood.
Okay, and then I think you already talked about that you're going to work with staff, and I'm comfortable with that, just on some of the other concerns from an architectural standpoint as far as maybe containing some of the covered porches, things like that.
Certainly.
So.
Certainly.
Okay. Are there any other questions of the applicant?
Mr. Chairman, just one to make sure we all understand. When I'm talking about the density, I'm talking about in the RR portion of it.
Right.
That's where the two additional
right.
units
yes,
are.
Right.
Very good.
Can we, Mr. Chairman, maybe get a consensus of how what everybody's thinking now?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to make a motion.
You're going
to see if it works.
That's kind of where I was going.
Because we need to kind of move on because we've got another conceptual review, and we also have another item which we postponed the last two meetings, and I'm understanding from some that we definitely want to hear that. So I'll make a motion that we approve the project and adopt the mitigated negative declaration for project 060100. With the items that were discussed as far as the live-work change that was mentioned at the start, which I believe is on, and there was another change on page 64. Then also we had a change on page 59. And that was on the eliminating the last three lines on that page. Those were the easy ones. Then on this project, as discussed and negotiated with the applicant, we are going to eliminate the architectural tower. We're going to preserve restrictions that this is live and work, and that we're looking at that as that downstairs is being commercial. Also, that this the applicant's going to work with the staff to look at some of the architectural features, such as the continuing maybe some of the covered porches, that we're going to add two units to the density, but it's only in the RR zone. And that also will not affect the parking as you go over 50 units, but that you'll be required to obviously park those two units as and work with staff on that. As far as the driveway is concerned, we're going to refer that to engineering. And it sounds like engineering feels that that's something that, that needs to be done. And maybe, again, engineering can look at that. Maybe there's a striping or something that could be done. I know speed bumps. I don't know if that's going to fit in with how the restrictions are for speed bumps and putting them on a ramp, but something there to, you know, to help. What have I missed?
The clarification of planning department requirement 9, you touched on it, but let's get the language in the motion to do you want to craft the language, because you had a couple of on the workspace. Okay, it's planning item, planning department requirement 9, it's the third bullet point, to add the additional language allowing for a full-time legitimate employee to occupy the residential space.
I think staff has that language already. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I wrote it, and I just added it over the just past after operator or employee. That's the change.
Correct, and then also the bullet, the work portion shall be used solely for commercial uses and not for residential uses.
Okay.
Or maybe it can be singular.
I'm going to add a fourth bullet point then.
Okay.
Correct.
You're clear on the motion, Scott.
Yes, and then we had the one other.
Brian, did you want to add something?
The revision of condition number 46 to add the storm drain inlets in the 42-inch pipe.
Good, thank you.
For the storm drain master plan.
Right, thank you.
And I guess if you could just strike the term speed bump on the ramp, just leave it to engineering to work
that
out.
Right.
Speed bumps would not be allowed according to
right. So we'll just have you work with the applicant on what could be the best, and you would do that anyway, so we don't even need our direction on that. So, anything else?
Mr. Chair, just to incorporate our revisions to the MND as stated on the record tonight.
Yeah, and you picked up a couple of the pages there. I'll go through and I'll make it consistent.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think any of those cleanup issues you can take care of.
All of it, absolutely.
Okay. All right, with that, I'll look for a second.
Discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've got to have a second.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion.
I, too, would like to discuss it. Go ahead.
I'd like to see this come back again. I know you don't like to hear that. But I'm very impressed with what you've done on your revisions this round and what you've offered up. This is a huge project, and I don't think a lot of people can appreciate the amount of undertaking that the applicant is engaged in here in revising a project of this magnitude. Because of that, I would like to see renditions coming back to us, and I'd like to look at this one more time. I believe it potentially could be much more abbreviated than tonight, although I'm sure that you've felt that in the other times you've been here before the commission. So I'm not prepared to issue an approval vote on my behalf tonight until I see the project come back one more time.
Go ahead. I just gonna say I feel like that we've had this project before us through many conceptual reviews. The project came to us, this has been continued from another hearing. We went through everybody's concerns. I don't want to see the project come back. I want to see it move forward, and we can get an empty lot and have some buildings put on it.
Well, I'm unclear on all the items of the motion. I lost most of those, and I would really like. Sorry to do this to you, Mr. Chairman. I'd really like to be clear on the motion.
That's fine. Let's do that tonight.
And.
Do you want to have Claudia read it back?
Yeah, depending on whether I'm clear on the motion or not, I mean, I almost feel like we've gone through another concept review, and the last one wasn't a concept review, it was an application. And I thought it would have been better served as a concept review. And I'm okay with tonight as an application. I mean, we're just, it's so close to being a really great project.
What are you hoping to see back that we can't resolve tonight?
I'm still a little unclear on the commercial portions on Price Street, and I'm also unclear on that roof line that's exceeding 35 feet.
Can you clarify that for us?
The roof line on the Price.
You're talking, yeah, the portion of the building. Let me bring it up. Sand.
Let me
make sure we're talking apples to apples here.
It's the white portion of the building on.
You're talking about this one.
Yes, yeah. San Luis and.
You're talking about here. The white pieces of the building and the roof on those corners. What happens is these roofs are pitched, and so the thing's 35 feet, and they pitch the roof in order to at the back, so it comes up and it goes and extends above 35 feet. It's an architectural element because it could be flat.
Well, you know, whenever I've had to build something, and I've built a few things around here, the highest point of my roof had to meet the height requirement. So I'm really unclear on that.
But it's an architectural feature. It could be a flat roof. It's 15%, which they have permitted.
Well, I understand the parapet. I understand the tower and was willing to go either way on the tower. But the roof line, so the line at the back of that building, the front of that building on Price Street meets 35 feet. The back of that building is 36 or 37 feet.
It does extend above, the back of it extends above that, but there's no space in there, and it's not inside. The roof is capped at 35 feet. It's flat across, and then they have the extension of the roof going up like this. It's going to be inside. It's flat.
But the elevation of the building is exceeding the height limit.
It's not, because it's an architectural feature.
They're calling it an architectural feature. I mean, that's what the intent is.
But that's fine, and they can call it an architectural feature. I'm not certain that I'm willing to call it an architectural feature. I'm willing to call it a roof. I'm willing to call the parapet an architectural feature. The tower an architectural feature.
A parapet could be the feature that extends above it, but again, you have a flat situation. They're trying to break up the elevation and provide a pitched roof. I mean, whether that's acceptable or not is, you know, always kept for debate, but that's what they were proposing.
I have a suggestion is that if it's allowable to have staff work with the applicant and go through all the issues that the commission discussed tonight and resolve those before they submit for the building permit, and if we see one of those issues that we feel is not in the intent of the planning commission, we can bring that single issue back for a discussion as a business item. I mean,
as a business item, then we would be taking no action on it.
No, you could take a look. Let's say, for example, that the architect come back and redid the porch, and we looked at it, and we felt that the change was greater than some of the concepts that we talked about. We could bring him back and say, look at this porch.
Mr.
Chairman, that'd be funny.
I want to see whenever we have an application before us and they want to exceed by the 15% or some lesser portion thereof, it's always been my impression that you've called it out to me. You've told me, number one, they're exceeding it, but number two, you've shown me where they're exceeding it. Mm-hmm. And here, I don't have the benefit of that. I'm being asked to approve something where I could have 20 rooftops that are exceeding the height limit, and I don't know how many, and I don't know how much. I know they're less than 15%, and I don't know where, and I really want to see that.
We can define it right now if you want. I mean, the applicant's here and knows exactly what portions of the roof are exceeding it, and it's towards the roof. The applicant would like to address that. Maybe if that would help. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, but that's information I want to see, and it can be either tonight, although I think we may have other issues, and that's why I want to see another rendition come back. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a comment?
Yes, I would like to. I could show you exactly where those are. I mean, if you continue this and we go home and wait another month, I'll come back and I'll tell you what I can tell you now in 5 minutes. We're not exceeding anything outside of the code. The roof feature is just simply to continue the roof. I can tell you exactly where that is. I can point it out on a drawing. And everywhere else, it's under the 35 feet required. So I would ask that we can just decide it right now, and if you're okay with that, we...
The way I see this is you're entitled to 35 feet of height on portions of your building. Those I don't believe you're entitled. I believe that 15%, up to a 15%, is discretionary at the staff and planning commission level. Am I correct, Randy?
That's as part of this permit. That's correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you like the project, could we not then say it's approved with the condition of that we come back as we proceed ahead? I mean, it's difficult to proceed ahead on a project that we don't know that we're entitled to, that it's approved on the condition that the height that exceeds the 35 feet is conditional upon your approval in those specific locations. We come back, we show you exactly, I guess more specifically than I can point out to you today on a drawing, and you decide. And if it doesn't meet your approval, those 15% pieces go away. It's simply architectural. They're not occupiable.
Well, and that's really where I differ, because I like this design. I like this building. I don't care that it goes 15% more. It doesn't matter to me. I think it is an architectural feature. We ask you in our conceptual review to get away from the boxy look and cut the massing and articulate it. That's what you're doing. You're articulating it. And by articulating it, you're using an architectural feature of a pitched roof. I don't see this as violating any height restrictions, and nor did you, because staff told you that you were well within the ability to do this with the 15%. Now, if we don't like this building, and we don't like those pitched roofs, and we don't like the fact that it goes 15% more, that's a different issue. But I don't see this. I'm looking at the project, and I like the fact that the roofs slope. And again, with the issues that we've gone through here, and mitigated every one of them, I don't understand why we're bringing this back. I'm comfortable that staff can work through these other things. If we talk about a porch being covered, I mean, I think those are minor things, considering that we're holding up a project that's going to take a vacant lot and give us viable commercial and put 43 people living in our downtown, or for more than that. We've had many conceptual reviews on this. We've had this project. Last time, we brought it before us again. I just don't see that there's this many issues to resolve. But I'm only one vote.
Mr. Chair, under discussion, because we still have a motion on the floor, I want to voice other concerns other than the architecture. Tower, no tower. I'm not pleased with that building. However, I'm also not pleased with the fact that we receive a mitigated negative declaration with so many inaccuracies in it, and that we have to make a finding. It's finding B3, that the mitigated negative declaration has been reviewed and we have determined that it is adequate. And there are so many other things in this MND, which I find that it's kind of pieced together, and you're telling us verbally on the record that it doesn't really apply anymore. But these require a circulation and public comment. And I want to also bring up on page 63 of our MND under recreation, halfway through the paragraph, when we're talking about how this is going to impact the beach and some of our regional parks and stuff like that, it says, given the rather small size of the development. And I really think that some of our documents, for me, under the circumstances with the size of this project, are not clean enough for me to make the findings. There is still no general plan consistency analysis, which I believe should be in this project given its size, so that I can make the other finding. I think it's like finding B7 or something like that. I'd like to get it right from the top of my head, but it also says this is consistent with our general plan, local coastal plan for the mixed use district. And yeah, you could tell me that through the design guidelines, but that's our zoning ordinance. And even our concept review tonight has...
It's not a concept review.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Even our concept review...
Feels like one, but...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Even our concept review item coming up next has a general plan policy analysis for consistency. And this is like one of the biggest projects I've seen yet, and we still don't have that. So how can I make that finding? So architectural stuff is very, very important for me. Document and adopting by resolutions findings and conditions without the feeling of making findings is even more critical for me. And that's where I stand on this project. I'm not at all ready to accept this as approvable. Thank you.
Where I stand, and I think I agree with the chairman, Sorgenfrei. I think some of these issues can be have the staff work on. Seems like the height is a stumbling block for the vice chairman, Burns. what's wrong with a flat roof. I think I like the architectural style here, but if that's a stumbling block, apparently that's the only other issue on the...
Well, we had a situation some time ago with some buildings up in the Pismo Heights area where there were some pitched roofs, and they actually asked for a variance for pitched roofs, and we said, no, everybody else up there is putting on a flat roof. You can put on a flat roof. I don't see why the building can't be designed. I'm not willing to accept an entire roof slope as an architectural feature to exceed the height limit. I'm willing to accept a tower. I'm willing to accept a parapet. You know, I'm willing to accept those small architectural features, but not the entire width of a section of the building. So, and, go ahead.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, my concern is I would consider it, but I don't know where they are. I don't know how much they are. Yes, it exceeds it by 5 feet, but it's unoccupied. I don't care. Then it's a 40-foot slab that I'm staring at, not a 35-foot slab. I don't care if there's people in there. You can build a 100-foot-tall building and say that. The top 65 feet is architectural, you know, articulation, and it's empty and nobody's in there. It's a 100-foot-tall building, and I need to know where we're exceeding the heights in here. I want to see where, how many, and how much.
Can you clarify that for us?
I certainly can.
Okay, why don't you do that?
May I make a point, Mr. Chairman? Driving east on San Luis, we're looking at a building that is taller than 35 feet.
Well, why don't we have them clarify so we know where we're going to be looking at that image?
The 35 foot is exceeded only by the 50% here and here. Over the entire property. So you can say it exceeds the 15, the 35 in these two areas because the tower is no longer there any longer. But the rest of the property, so if you look at this, okay, grant this eyeball. The percentage that this makes across the entire project is 10% at most. It's not the full width of a property. In fact, this and this and all of this are two-story. So this piece and this piece, we're asking for a roof slope. If you want it to go away, to be flat, character changes.
And I think that's a shame because, again, the fact that it's limited to only these structures, it's that little bit of a percentage, tells me it's an architectural element. And to all of a sudden make a project uglier because we want it to be the 35 foot, when we're still able to, at our discretion, to make it 15% more because it's an architectural element, I think is just sad.
Well, we normally agree on a lot of things, but with all due respect, I don't feel that I'm not willing to sign off on a roof on a section of the building being an architectural element. I'm willing to sign off on it being a roof, and anything I've ever done, the ridgeline on that roof is 35 feet or 25 feet, then the ridgeline on that roof is 35 feet or 25 feet. And we've had other people ask for variances. For basically the same thing.
If I can address this, this is nomenclature of this, our jargon.
Can I have a 35?
Yeah. So we'll do 35 feet. There's no more exceed 35 feet.
And I just go on the record to say I think that's a shame. I think that we're supposed to look at the design of this building, and if it's 15% to articulate it and make it a slope and make it look better. But again, I mean, it's one opinion, and it's.
Just draw one last thing, referring to the comment roof. A roof like this has a pitch. This roof, this is the face of the building. We don't have a true roof. It's fake. It's artificial. The roof does this and like this.
I understand.
And there's mechanical equipment and stuff back here. This is purely to establish an eave line. This can come here and stop. If the 35 feet is here, we can stop it anywhere we want. There's no space within here actually altogether. But if you rather stay at 35, we'll cut it. it's a non-issue for us. We're not going to go home, come back, and show you exactly what we've shown you today just to fight for a roof extension. It's just not worth it. We'll stay at 35.
Okay. Any other issues?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I want to see exactly how much it exceeds it. If you're going to call it an architecture extension, how much? How much over the 35? Don't tell me 15%. I want to see the redesign come back here. This is a major project. I'm not going to slam dunk it because it's getting late. No, that's a reaction to a concern, and I want to see a design. I want to see a redesign come back. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
With all due respect, I feel like that I need to make a statement here. I'm not slam dunking this because it's late. I'll stay here till 4 o'clock in the morning to get this project resolved because we've gone through countless conceptual reviews. They've come back and made the changes we requested. We've gone through a full public hearing for this item tonight. We've heard every concern of the planning commissioners. They went and we took a break. They came back and met all of those. They met the final one now. And to come back, I don't need to visualize what the pitch is going to look like now. It's going to be flat. It's not going to be 15% anymore. And to have these people wait another month and come back for that purpose, to me, I don't think is right, and I don't want to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Just my opinion.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Just a moment. You were going to say something. I think you were next.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to support Commissioner Anderson.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just about to say that I'm also going to support my two fellow commissioners to bring it back and to see a lot of things cleaned up under the circumstances. And so I think we have a consensus here on that.
Mr. Chairman, one potential option would be to have a motion and a vote denying the project, if that's how it shakes out. I don't know if it would. And then the applicant could appeal it to the City Council.
If they choose, I'd like to continue it because this close, and there are a few of the findings, as Commissioner Cox Miranda pointed out, and there are, I'm still a little unclear on the motion. There's some things, no disrespect, in the staff report that probably need to get cleaned up, and to approve a project of this magnitude, we really ought to dot all the I's across all the T's. And obviously the height is an issue for me. Doesn't mean it can't be slightly altered or designed toward, I don't know whether you can design the building where if you don't want a flat roof or somehow there's got to be some option there to stay within the 35-foot height limit and give us a roof. But I would like to see it continued because it's this close. And I realize I've been behind that thing a number of times like you have, and I don't like it when this happens, but it's part of the game. And I feel at this moment it's the right thing to do.
And Mr. Chairman,
I'm ready to move on the project, I think. Apparently, we don't have the majority to move on it, but I've read through the entire project. I looked at all the conditions. I identified some minor issues on nomenclature and so forth, and then MNDs and so forth. We've gone through this many times. They came back and met, and as far as I'm concerned, all of our concerns. I'm ready to move on it. It looks like we don't have the votes to approve it, but we have a motion and a second.
There's a motion and a second.
Okay. I withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw my second then.
So it appears that there's a consensus to continue this. What I would suggest is I'm not going to deny the project. I'm going to approve it. So I'm not going to vote to deny it. I'm not going to vote for a denial so you can go to the City Council. I mean, you could go to the City Council, but you could appeal it yourself anyway. But I think it's incumbent upon the commissioners who have issues, and I do not, to give the applicant very clear, precise direction on what they want to see when they come back, so this applicant does not have to come back after one more pass. And frankly, there were issues that were brought up that we didn't talk about in our last meeting. There were issues we didn't talk about in the conceptual review. So I would just, I think in fairness to the applicant, like for everybody to be very specific who feel like they need to see this project again, and have them address those so when they come forward. And also, I would like to see this project at our next meeting.
Is that possible, Randy?
Well,
I don't see us taking near as much time on it. If these guys can be back here in 2 weeks.
We should ask the applicant.
I think we should ask, yeah.
We can be back tomorrow.
Your microphone. There you go. Thank you.
I have no idea what's being asked of us, to tell you the truth. I have no idea.
That's what
I'm
asking.
We can be back here, yes. In 2 weeks, we can certainly be back here.
Okay. What I would like to do then is, so you, would you be able to put that on our, even if
that's
we have
correct.
To have an overloaded agenda?
Right.
Is that okay with the commission? To
absolutely.
We see this at our
sure.
next meeting?
Okay.
What I would like to do then is, I don't think Commissioner Waggy has any issues. I don't have any issues. So, Commissioner Burns, if you could be brief, because we do have the other items, let them know specifically what you'd like to see from them when they come back.
I pretty much explained it. Are you clear on what I'm asking? Okay. A roof line to me is not, and again, I'm only one vote here, but a roof line to me is not an architectural feature. It's a roof line, and that area of the building and the back of the building are exceeding 35 feet. I don't like that, and I need to be a little more clear on some of the items in the mitigated negative declaration. I think Commissioner Cox Miranda probably explained that better than I could, and I think those issues and the issues that Commissioner Anderson brought up.
Commissioner Burns, we no longer have any portions of the building that exceed 35 feet. So the other issues for the MND are not issues, they're issues of staff, I believe, not our issues in this case. So,
would you like to go next?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is so odd because kind of what we're doing is we're like saying, let me tell you what I want so that you can get an approval, and that's almost like prejudicing the next continued hearing, and I just think that speaking in that way makes me feel awkward. I've voiced my I wanted to support my fellow commissioners on the height issue so that they can see it. I have other issues. I don't know that, and I wanted to make sure that those were well understood, but I have a problem with the building on the corner of Dolliver, on Price and Wadsworth in general. Tower or no tower, so how can I tell you to, like, improve on that type of architectural style? I'm not going to, like, go there with all of that. So, and I also don't want to have another hearing that's noticed and published at any way at all indicate how I'm going to vote next time, no matter what. Thank
well,
you.
I don't think anybody's, certainly I'm not asking you how you're going to vote. I think these gentlemen need to know what your issues are, and I think that I would agree that if you don't like the commercial building and you can't give them specifics, then I understand that. But other issues, and I guess that it seems like a lot of the issues you had were with the staff report, so obviously that's something that staff can work on.
Thank, Mr. Chair, if I may interrupt, I think I just explained to them, and I don't know why it's necessary for you to paraphrase what I just explained to them. I feel really kind of imposed upon by that. So if we could just move along the line, and I apologize for interrupting.
So are you clear on what the issues are then?
I'm not clear how to address this. I would like someone to point to something in some zoning code that explains how we're supposed to address the corner building. If it's an issue of subjectivity, I don't know how to address that, honestly, no. If it's a height issue or a setback issue, area, use, parking, I'm perfectly happy to understand that, but I don't hear that being said. So, no, I do not understand.
Okay. Mr. Anderson?
Did you understand my comments earlier in the meeting tonight where we talked about porches, glass, potentially a passageway during the break?
Clearly.
Okay.
Clearly.
Good. You're not seeking then, you don't want the two more units. You're not increasing the density because you're not going to give us a design on that. That's why you want to proceed tonight. You're waiving those two more units.
Is the two issues a condition of the continuation?
Well, I'm just curious because I haven't even seen a design for those two additional units, and so I'm assuming you don't want the two additional units.
We do want the two additional units.
Then I need to see the design.
So that's what we're trying to give him. So you want to see them bring back a design with the other two units.
And I want to see the other design modifications that we discussed tonight. And if you want to come in and try to pitch me on a roof, no pun intended, we can look at that. I'll look at a particular artifact if you have a roof that may exceed 35 feet. I'm not saying I'll approve it or disapprove it. I'll take a look at it. But what I'm lacking is, okay, these buildings go up, but I don't know how much and exactly how. And I know, I've seen your work. Your work is brilliant, and I know you can come forward with that. And I know it's late and everybody's tired, and I know it's probably very frustrating for you because when you work on a project like this, you're a real artist. It shows in your work. So I'm not criticizing your work. I'm saying let's really make this a stellar project. And I know all the other commissioners have the exact same thing in mind.
Thank you.
Okay. So do you have any other questions for us? Any other clarifications that you need to bring the project back? Any other issues to be answered? Okay. Anybody else have any comments?
I'm ready to make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
A motion that we continue project number 06100 to the next regular scheduled meeting of the Pismo Beach Planning Commission.
I'll second. You call the roll, please.
Chairman Sorgenfein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Cox-Miranda?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll see you next meeting.
Mr. Chairman, a point of order.
Yes.
It's getting close to 10 o'clock, and we're supposed to adjourn at 10 unless we have consent to extend beyond that time.
Right. Okay. Did you want to say something?
I certainly have everything. Thank you. Hi, my name is Peter Keith. I'm the applicant. Pardon me. Thank you for that. Actually, we would like to continue it. We know that you have a cutoff at approximately 10 p.m., and everybody's been here since 6 p.m. or before. So, unfortunately, I suppose that means that you have to re-notify, and it is only a conceptual review. So, with your consent, then we certainly would agree to coming back. Terry, did you have something?
Mr. Chairman, before any discussion begins on this, I need to recuse myself.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add that part of our coming tonight was to get to know the commission, to get to understand your values and your direction, your understanding of the projects and how you perceive them. It's a certain juxtaposition of the project that has just moved forward somewhat. Has been very insightful. Our project in many ways is similar. Quite frankly, I think that our project answers a lot of the questions that we heard being raised tonight. But nonetheless, I think that we do have a very small, one-tenth the size of the project.
Okay, I don't, we if we're going to hear it, then
no,
we need to hear it.
But we think that we would like to have a relaxed commission.
Right. So you guys want to continue it?
An early hearing at the next available meeting.
Okay. So
I'll need to look at our staff load for next meeting and get back with the applicant.
So we'll need to make a motion to continue the item. Okay. We have 1 minute to do that. So I'll make a motion that we continue.
Do you want to open and close the public hearing? Do you need to do that since it's conceptually?
Well, we're continuing the item. So anyone from the public like to speak on? Well, we're continuing the item, so we're not going to hear it, so there would be no public comment.
Mr. Chair, do you think it would be worth reading into the record at least?
Certainly. I'll do that. We're going to I make a motion that we continue project 070127, which is a conceptual roof review for the demolition of an existing commercial building and residential unit and construction of a mixed-use commercial residential project consisting of 3,860 square feet of commercial retail space and 5 residential condominium units. The residential units range in size from 910 to 1,810 square feet. Project is 3 stories in height and provides both coverage and garage parking and lower floor basement level. Site is zoned retail commercial C1 and is located within the downtown commercial core planning area. So I'll look for a second to continue the item.
Except I think we should open and close the public hearing because it's a hearing item.
But we're continuing it, so we're not hearing it. Is that correct or not?
You can continue it without opening
the public hearing. Okay.
Well, we would re-advertise.
Okay. I stand corrected.
There.
I'll second it then, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Chairman Sorgenfein?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Burns? Recused. Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Cox-Miranda?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
Excuse me. When are we coming back then?
Staff will work on that, but they've had our direction to come back as soon as possible. So
we'll have to give you a call, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Probably best for everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us do that, too. I think it'll make for a better meeting.
Then I think we need consent to continue past 10 o'clock.
Right. I'll look for a motion to continue to 10:15.
Also move.
Second.
Call the roll.
Vice Chairman Certify?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Berman?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Commissioner
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, our next item is a business item, and this is council consideration of 1983 zoning map amendment, planning commission review, and possible recommendation of the council to amend the 1983 zoning map for a change from two and three family resident R2 to multifamily resident R3 along a portion of Wadsworth Avenue in the Pismo Heights planning area. And Michael Gruber is going to give us a very brief
10 seconds.
Opening to this.
Not to sound like one of those auctioneers, but
right. No, take your time. We want to. We want you to be thorough.
Essentially, what happened was Planning Commission in 2005 looked into amendments to the 1983 code, a whole list of them on page two, and basically the Planning Commission approved all of them with the exception of some parking amendments, and. One of the amendments they did approve and recommend a review by City Council for adoption was changing a portion of zoning from R2 to R3 along Wadsworth Avenue. Currently, some of the houses out there or the development out there was already at R3 zoning density levels. It was more than just one or two units per lot. And what happened was the ball got dropped because planning staff was given urgency ordinances for adult businesses and also the medical marijuana dispensary ordinances. So those came before City Council before we could ever get these amendments over to the council for review. At this point, staff has taken a look at some of the density levels based on the existing units along that block of Wadsworth. And to bump it up to an R3 level, it appears that we would also have to amend our general plan land use designation for that particular area from medium density to high density. So at this time, staff is looking for direction to initiate these amendments, to go back and actually do the environmental review for this and draft up the amendments themselves. Since we've only had the zoning amendment at this time and we didn't follow through with it, we need to take a look now whether or not we want to recommend to council to initiate the zoning amendment and the general plan map amendment.
Okay. Any questions of staff?
No.
So really tonight, any questions?
Let me clarify the process a little bit.
Okay.
Tonight is a request for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation to council. The council would then review it. If the council said yes, then we would come back, and it would come back to the whole public hearing process at Planning Commission and at the City Council, and then it would be sent forward to Coastal for certification. So this is kind of the beginning of a five-step process.
We would actually come back with the actual map amendment language for both zoning and general plan. Basically, this is just asking for, should we go ahead with this?
Okay. Any questions?
No, I would support them moving forward. I mean, reasonably upzoning a property to me makes good sense. I mean, you'd have to be careful with it, but it can make good sense. So,
yeah, I think we should also move forward on it, Mr. Chairman.
I would agree.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a really quick question so that I can fully understand.
Sure.
Whenever, I don't want to use like a bad word, but spot zoning came to mind when you take a small area of land or a section in an existing neighborhood, and I'm looking at a definition I found, and it's singled out and placed in a different zone from that of neighboring property. Is that spot zoning? Are we, like, getting close to it?
No, I think probably the best way of explaining it is that the size of the town we are in relationship, we even looked at these properties in our housing element to meet the density requirements. So I think if you take a whole block and you deal with it as a whole unit, you're not. But if we were singling out mid-block pieces, a couple of mid-block pieces, then I think, yeah, you'd fall into that category. But taking a look at one of the unique things of that side of the block and that whole run, the existing units are, there's a greater density existing out there than the zoning ordinance provides. So if you look at the future and how do you continue upgrading properties, how can they remodel and keep their unit or whatever, the foundation zoning needs to be brought up so the property owners have the ability to completely remodel them or provide those units. We have a couple of properties that the property owners would like to improve them, but to remodel them, they'd have to lose a unit. And so if you want properties to upgrade, we need to give them the tools to upgrade them. It's kind of a unique situation in that area. Those units on that side of the block are several years old. They're not brand new, you know, unit type.
Right. Okay, thank you. Also, so essentially if we didn't go forward with this, we could technically say that then we would have, let's say, six non-conforming existing lots.
They currently
anyway.
Are.
Yeah, those six. So those six would just kind of stay as is. So in a way it looks like 581 Wadsworth is the one that would be in question that has the larger lot size, right?
That might not be able to build out due to zoning as far as slopes, parking, and a few other things.
Well, one of my things about this is that I'm not eager to move into a high-density area for that location on Wadsworth right there because I think it's a very precarious location given access to the heights. And I'm seeing the high density in that area from Ocean View. It's creeping into the whole entire lower heights. And so it would be my recommendation not to consider this at this time because I don't believe that it will fulfill a higher public interest right now. I think we have to be very careful with increasing our density in that location especially. So it would be, I would not support forwarding this on. Thank you.
Before I go to the public, did you have anything to add, Mr. Anderson?
No, thank
okay.
you.
We'll hear from the public.
Don Day, 101 Park Place.
If you all try to stand in line, please, so we can get you one at a time.
One of the things that we talk about in this community is that we want affordable housing. There's no cheaper way to put affordable housing out to the public than to increase the density. And the thing you're being asked to do in this particular area is to make legal what's already existing so that in some cases we can actually improve what's there. Mr. Spinelli and I own a project there. We're limited what we can do with it until we go further with this. Our neighbor has four units. The neighbor behind us has four or five units. They're all nonconforming uses. They're afraid to go in and remodel them, and quite frankly, they're shacks because of the fact that if they touch them, they have to reduce the density. So if we don't do something, we're not going to continue to improve the housing affordability issue for this community. At least somebody in this area is ready to do something, but our hands are tied at this point because it got dropped. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to add anything? Okay. We'll close it to the public. We've got 5 minutes if we want to continue any further. So I would say that I'm for having it move forward. I think a good point was made that it's already being done. This is just basically taking something and making it more things that are already existing and making it legal. And I would agree that, you know, this could help an affordable housing issue.
We're not approving anything. We're simply going to review it further.
Right. Right. We're just going to continue to bring it back to us in a formal fashion.
So do you need a motion from us since this is a business item?
Yeah, that would help.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt resolution number 07-0141, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Pismo Beach recommending the City Council directive to initiate amendments to both the 1983 zoning map to change from an R2 zoning district to an R3 zoning and the 1992 general plan, local plan, land use designation.
Okay, I'll second that. Call the roll, please. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you have any comments for us?
only that we have November 6th is at 3 p.m. is our joint meeting with the City Council.
Okay.
I want to remind you on that. And tomorrow morning at 8:30 at Pismo Hotel, the Chamber is putting on an informative workshop on the paid parking and the parking management plan to try to help the business community educate.
Pismo Beach Hotel on Pomeroy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It was at Scotty's, and Scotty's had a little fire kitchen fire last night. So.
No incident there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Senator Scotty.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. If nothing further, we'll adjourn.